call this meeting to order and for our invocation and pledge of allegiance. One of my very favorite ministers, Pastor Dan.
You say that every month. Could you?
They weren't supposed to tell you, I think.
I'm on to you.
Thank you.
All right. Good evening, everyone. Proverbs chapter 15 says, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. I just think about that as you folks get together and do the business of the town and make the decisions that you need to make. And really, as we all gather to kind of work together for the betterment of this community, and you know, I just think that's a great verse to remember. So let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for this night. Thank you for this council and for the beauty and the privilege of being in this town. Lord, we pray that you would guide our council as they would make decisions and do the business of the town, to make the decisions that are best for us who live here as well as those who come to visit, and just to make this place a great place to live. These things we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, our consent agenda. Anybody have any additions, deletions, changes? Okay, do I hear a motion?
Make a motion to approve as accepted.
Sorry.
First presenter, sorry.
Seconded by Joseph over here. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Now then.
You have a fund book.
I have this, and that's all, it's not like in a folder or anything, right?
No, I'll be mailing it to you.
Okay. let me come down there. It's Mr. Spark, are you here? Could you come join me down here? Okay. Town of Cure Beach, North Carolina, Proclamation P17-01. In support of National Safe Boating Week, whereas year-round people continue to enjoy all that our natural environment has to offer through the joy of boating, and whereas National Safe Boating Week is observed to bring attention to important life-saving tips for recreational boaters so they can have a safer, more fun experience out on the water, and on an average, 650 people die each year in boating-related accidents in the U.S., with approximately three-fourths of these being fatalities caused by drowning. Whereas the vast majority of these accidents are caused by human error or poor judgment and not by boat equipment or environmental factors, and whereas a significant number of boaters who lose their lives by drowning each year would be alive today had they worn their life jackets. And whereas today's life jackets are more comfortable, more attractive, and more wearable than styles in past years, now therefore be it proclaimed that Cure Beach Town Council hereby supports the goals of the North American Safe Boating Campaign, Wear It, and proclaim May 20th through 26th, 2017, as National Boating Week and the start of a year-round effort to promote safe boating. Thank you for being here. Would you like to make any comments?
No, just be a sound power squadron. We do all we can to promote the boating education and just make everyone around here much safer. So we thank you for taking the time to allow us to come.
Did you take that boat
all the way from April? I did not. I did buy a boat before we bought the edge of the house. We moved over there.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you. And Nancy will get this time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you, guys. You're welcome to stay.
You're going to take their budget.
They obviously have been here before.
Okay, adoption of our regular agenda. Any changes, additions? Do I hear a motion?
Make a motion to adopt the agenda.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, persons to address council. Vern Harrington of 120 Hanby Avenue would like to talk about the fence ordinance that we're discussing tonight.
Yes.
Is that right? Okay.
Thank you, council, for the opportunity to present this evening. And I just wanted to go on record as being in support of the new ordinance of increasing the fence height in Curie Beach, having a residence that backs up to a pumping station and a through street on the back end. That buffer would be a welcome change to be able to have a barrier against that pumping station and storage shed that backs up the back of my property, and just wanted to go on record as supporting the ordinance for the council. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Teresa Browning, 108 Hanby Avenue. Same ordinance.
Yes. Appreciate the time. I also am in support of the fence height. We don't back up to a pumping station, but we actually back up to a condo. And these guys look right down on us, so that fence would certainly help in the privacy that we would like to enjoy in our backyard if possible. So we certainly appreciate your consideration on that.
Thank you.
Would anyone else like to speak tonight on any other issue? No one? Okay, discussion and consideration of committee business, Board of Adjustment, Community Center Committee, Marketing Committee. Debbie Elliott? Oh, no, we've got the aquarium here tonight. Welcome.
Thank you, Council, very much for having me. My name is Robin Nalipa. I am not Debbie Elliott, but I'm here on her request as she had an unavoidable conflict this evening. I would like to share with you the fiscal year 17-18 Curie Beach marketing allocations as recommended by the Curie Beach Marketing and Advisory Committee. I believe that you all have the budget in front of you and collateral materials. I'll run through a few numbers. If you have questions, I will do my very best to answer them. If there are additional questions that I'm unable to answer, I can take those back to the CED or the Marketing Committee. So the budget was set with county projections in mind. It is a 4% increase from the fiscal year 16-17 budget. I'll run through just a couple of the key areas. The overall media spend, which includes purchased advertising, there are a number of line items in that under that category. Those increased by 7% and raised by $6,500. There's a small media contingency in case of a good advertising opportunity or foul weather, but we won't talk about that. An increase of $1,400 for public relations as there has been increased media coverage of Curie Beach. The advertising media services sub area is $155,968. There's online management, including the Curie Beach section of the Wilmington and Beaches website. That is $21,375. There is a fulfillment line, which is $5,750. Images and videos total $7,825. That is up significantly for the increase in videos and social media content, videos and photography, and also hiring talent. The days of going down the beach and asking people if they'll pose in our photos is sort of gone. So they needed to raise that a little bit to get more talent for those images and videos.
May I ask you a question?
Absolutely.
What's a SkyNav info beacon? I saw the whole thing for Wilmington, but what's info beacon?
So if you saw it on the website, there are now these SkyNav info beacons, and it is brand new technology. The Wilmington and Beaches area is the first destination area to have this in the country. And on the website, I'm not going to do a great job of explaining it verbally, but on the website, if you go to the Wilmington and Beaches website, Getting Free Beach, you can go down and there's a 3D, 360 degree navigation of the area. So you can see, if you go to the Wilmington one, you can see downtown, and then there are small, they look like little pages. You can click on them, and it will share information about that area and give you a closer look at it. And so that has never been, this is brand new technology that just came on board, is my understanding, and that's what those are. But it's best to explore the website to get a better understanding of it.
As an example, since I did see the demonstration, if you were to center in on the pier and Mike had done one of these interviews, you could just hit the flip-flops, I believe, is the, and it would take you right to Mike discussing, here's what the pier is, here's what we're about, here's the things we do, etc. And they would show the inside of the pier. So you can become part of any info beacon using these powers.
Thank you. Great. Let's see. So the total working budget is $190,918. There is a contingency, or as requested previously by the council, a 10% holdback of $21,213. That brings the fiscal year 2017-2018 budget total to $212,131. And that is a 4% increase from fiscal year last year. I would ask you to consider that and for your approval to take back to the Marketing Advisory Committee.
Thank you, Robin. Any questions for Robin?
No, I think they did a pretty good job with it. Did you have the information, Robin, on how much we've increased January to February in right here? I think it's important. The work that we did on ROT has shown some early fruit.
I am not sure that I grabbed that particular sheet. I apologize. I may be wrong, but I believe I want to say a 73% in ROT.
Okay.
I believe that it was so significant. We were all asking how it was done. It was an exceptionally large ROT increase. And I want to say that it was 73%.
New Year's Eve and the polar plunge.
Yeah, I think it was. So, there goes the words out. And pay your bills.
And that was January and February. I can't wait to see what June does.
That's right. Yeah.
So.
Do we hear a motion?
I move we accept the budget as offered by the Marketing Committee.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Planning and zoning, Mr. Evans.
Good evening, Mayor.
Good evening.
Council member, good town folk. Since two of our distinguished town people spoke regarding fences, could we, with your permission, can I switch the order of these and talk about fences first?
Yes, sure.
Thank you. I didn't know when those ladies and gentlemen might leave. As you can see, you have in your packet, we, the Planning and Zoning Committee, are recommending that the height of the fence in the rear yard, the backyard of homes, be allowed to be raised from 4 feet to 6 feet. No higher than 6 feet if you keep your 4-foot fence if you'd like to. One reason I want to talk about fences first, these two
nice people spoke in favor of this thing, but you have to be a little bit careful in that HOA rules can be more restrictive than town rules. So if your HOA has a 4-foot limit even in the back, by the town adopting a 6-foot limit, that does not allow you to raise your fence to 6 feet unless you get permission from your HOA.
Well, I think they, like me, don't live in HOAs. Okay. Says I recognize the streets, so there you go.
Just wanted to point that out. But we are requesting that you approve the amendment. I wasn't going to read it verbatim, but you'd like for me to the townsfolk.
May I ask a couple of questions? Why was it set at 4 feet originally?
Wow.
I'm probably the oldest guy in here, but I still don't know that.
The purpose was for air flow, not to cut off your neighbor's air. That was back in the days when
no air conditioning was
very good.
It's been a while. I've been that way my whole life.
So what do you recommend?
Okay, I still have some more questions here. Okay. D, fences further than 5 feet of the sidelines of the property or 10 feet of the rear of the property shall not exceed 6 feet. I don't particularly understand what you mean.
Current language is that?
Further.
Well,
that's the current language. You didn't change that.
That's correct.
Okay.
And you can—that's in the setback. So if you've got your houses on your property, and you've got 10 feet over to, let's say, the front and the side, you have 10 feet. Well, there's a 5-foot setback. So if I want to go out to the property line, 4 feet up in the front and the side. Mm-hmm. But if I move that back to closer than the setback rule, I can go up to 6 feet, even on the side yard, but not out at the property line.
Okay. So really, 10 feet is the setback in the back of the yard.
Yes, ma'am.
If your yard is 15 feet and you bring that, then where can you put that 6-foot fence?
In the backyard, you can go all the way to the property line. From the back corner of the house to the back of the property line, you can go 6 feet.
Okay. I still don't understand that sentence, but that's an old
sentence.
That means
if you come in on the setback, you can have a taller fence. So if you want a privacy fence, you...
This says... Yeah, but that's not what this sentence says.
Yep,
that
sentence
means
that if you meet setbacks for a house, you can go 6 feet anywhere in your yard.
Thank you.
Okay.
That is a perfect illustration.
So if you don't have a 10-foot setback, you're a real old property and you don't have a 10-foot setback?
You can't have a 6-foot fence.
Right, that's right.
But this ordinance that is brought before you today would allow that.
Okay. Then this sentence sounds like it's contradictory of what we're trying to do. Should we take that sentence out?
No, that has to do with the setback. If this is your house, your lot is green, the new rule will allow the black line to be 6 feet.
Right.
This anywhere up in here is 4. If the setback, you could go on to 6 if the setback was right along here.
So you still can have it on your side and front yard, a 6-foot fence.
So
they only change
if you go
back
to here, it's 4 feet. Right. If you put it at the setback, you can stay 6 feet. This can be 6 feet right to the property.
Just sounds like this contradicts what you're trying to do, but that's okay. Let me also ask you on these metal fences, this is strictly residential, right? This does not have anything to do with commercial.
Right.
Okay. So the property out here AT&T owns, I can't get rid of that metal fence.
Well,
Well, of course we can if you'd like to.
It'd be non-conforming and existing until it got knocked down. When we change our ordinances, we typically don't retroactively reinforce them. But what caused the wire fences thing in P&Z? I mean, that's a separate change.
Mm-hmm. That was another question.
We just feel it's better aesthetics.
Okay. I mean, did you have citizens come and push that, or I'm just interested?
We had very few citizens talk on either side of this at our meeting.
Right.
But a couple wrote to Mr. Batson without attending our meeting and regarding wire and height or column.
So no chain link fences on the property line is what this is, or chicken wire.
Previously, it allowed for 5-foot chain link fences.
Right, I know. Yes, I know, and that's you're taking that out, right?
Yes, sir.
And you're taking out chicken wire or any other type of fences,
any
right?
Any type of wire.
Yeah. I just have an issue with that when citizens don't want it. That's the cheapest type of fence. That happens to be what's in my backyard, so it'll be staying for a while too, probably. But I'm just interested in why. I agree if they look bad. But I don't know that they always look bad. You can see through a lot better than a wooden fence. My wife tells me I'm putting a wooden fence anyway, so it don't matter. But I'm just kind of interested, right? Because some people, if they're on the buffer zone, like a wire fence so they can see the woods. If you put a wood fence there, you don't have that. So I'm just kind of interested.
I don't think we had any one person complain about that as part of the ordinance. When we started looking at changing fence height from 4 foot to 6 foot, it was noticed that was there.
Right.
The commission asked me about it and asked how many we've had put up recently. It just so happens that at that time, I had just issued a permit for one on Fort Fisher Boulevard to go around the whole backyard.
Right. A chain link fence?
As soon as they heard that, I don't think anybody really wanted to see a chain link fence on Fort Fisher Boulevard. That's why I came up.
Okay.
Let me ask you again, because this talks about owner's property over and over and over again. It doesn't say residential owner. So this also applies to commercial property, right?
It applies to everything except for what you see there. It talks about governmental units and utility contractors, I believe.
Okay. Exemption C, right?
Have any impact on you, Mike, or?
Oh, I got my chain link up.
Right.
No, I don't think so. Most of my property is in fire zone, so it could be wood stock.
And with our exemption of government agency, when Sunny Point gets ready to put a chain link fence all the way down Dale Road,
we can't
prevent it. Okay.
No.
Okay. That's all.
I make a motion to adopt the amended. Oops.
Well, I was going to ask, so do we have to have a public hearing on this?
No.
It's not 17. Chapter 5. Sorry, I just want to make sure I understood we could do it first, right? I mean, and secondly, I request the council to vote on the two particulars separately so I can vote no on one of them.
Then you make the motion.
Okay, so I make a motion that we accept the height change presented to amend 5-141A to increase the maximum fence height in regards to 6 feet.
I second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
I'll make a motion. Well, can I make a motion and vote against it?
No.
Then someone else got to make it.
Because we don't have a motion. We don't vote on it.
Well, you know, the other guys, whatever you want to do.
We don't make a motion. What do you want to do?
If we don't make a motion, we don't pass it. It doesn't pass.
So it's the wire thing. Make a motion. I'm fine with voting against it.
Do I hear a motion on wire fencing?
Okay, I propose we, I move we make a motion to amend 514, I'm sorry, 5-141B to restrict wire fences entirely.
Second.
All those in favor? Opposed?
No.
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 Cool.
I guess you don't get the wire fence then.
There you go.
Not me.
That's right.
Okay. Is that
5.1?
Okay,
so we had two no's, we didn't have any yeses. I didn't hear any yeses.
So we you amended no. To restrict.
No,
you,
not
you
to restrict.
You put amend to restrict.
Yes.
The wire fences. You don't want the wire fences.
Correct.
Right.
And everybody agrees with Craig, except for you.
No.
Everybody said no.
Everybody voted against it.
I moved so that we could vote.
Okay.
And we all voted against it.
All right, against. So, unanimous against.
Yes.
But we didn't. We had a second.
Yeah. I don't mean that.
Just because you second it doesn't mean you have to vote in favor of it.
Yes,
you may. Yes, you don't call a vote again.
Okay, because if you don't vote, it's an automatic yes. All those in favor?
Yeah.
Opposed?
No.
No.
There you go. Good point. Keep it straight. Nice job. Okay, Article 3. Now the warning to
stay up here. Okay. Mr. Allen.
Okay, let's talk about animal issues.
We voted to adopt the change to the back, the height, but not wire fences. So you have to.
When was that motion made? That was yes.
That's the first. Yep. Yes. Good job. Keep it straight. Good. Let's hear about this one. So I've got lots of emails. So interesting. I missed the last discussion.
Listen to the.
There you go. She's trying. It's good. We're good. Oh, really? Wow. It might have been for real.
Yes, Mr. Allen.
Okay. For four of you good people that were here last meeting, the only change from tonight's set paperwork and the last meeting we talked about this issue is we took the word monkeys out of the definition of exotic animals.
So may I ask you about your definition?
Sure.
Okay, so birds that are brought in from other countries are okay.
Yes. We don't consider those exotic.
Okay, and reptiles that are not venomous but are along the lines of a python or a bull constrictor or an anaconda, they're okay.
No, I would say not because of because of its size, vicious propensity, toxicity, or otherwise reasonably poses a threat.
Okay.
And a 20-foot python reasonably poses a threat.
Are you sure?
I am. And I think reasonable people would think that. And we had a big discussion during our meeting with our attorney regarding the word reasonable. And it, according to him, that is used in legal framework and legal documents all the time, that you can't specifically, you know, we would have a list that stretches out to the road of the different animals in or out of the definition of exotic. But reasonable people would say a large python, a large boa constrictor,
okay.
And John's going to have to be the reasonable person.
I can reasonably say that a 20-foot python would make me feel threatened, yes.
How about a really little spider?
Yeah, tarantulas. Okay, pot-bellied pigs. Pets or livestock?
My personal opinion.
Exotic or not?
Well, not exotic.
Not exotic. So it's a pet.
Because
you don't keep them outside.
That isn't reasonably hurt, show a threat to anybody either.
Okay. Okay, go ahead.
Well, so we've defined exotic animal, we've defined livestock, mm-hmm. and livestock enclosures. And once we have defined exotic animals, you go to the ordinance part, and it says no one, no entity, or individual person may have to support an exotic animal in the confines of Curie Beach. So exotic animals, per the Curie Beach definition, are bangers.
Now, I don't want to pick this to death, but we've got a list. We've got two things in the exotic animal paragraph. One is the reasonable man, and the other is a general list. So if I want to go out and buy a rabid ferret and bring it home, it's not listed here, and I'm going to keep it in the house where it won't bother anybody.
Rabbit.
Can you mention something? Can I take a shot at this one, John? Please. Since we cannot reasonably define the entire list of every animal that could be exotic or not be exotic,
and I agree.
We therefore have to have the ability to logically determine whether it creates a threat or not, which is what Jim said. The language allows. Now, it may be a threat to you, but it's not a threat to me because it's my pet. But if it's a threat to you, it's still a problem. So there's logic that has to be applied because we could never come up with a definitive list. And as you know, we'll deal with them. The more exotic they get, I guess the more we'll deal with them.
Yeah, no, I agree with the concept. One of the problems I see possibly coming up is we're making regulations as far as square footage and everything for keeping outside animals. And we're not, it's inside somebody's house, but, you know, they put it in a shoebox, which is cruel to that given animal.
Well, I think the issue is, this isn't going to come up unless there's a complaint, because the building inspector's not going in people's houses if it's inside. So if it's a complaint from a neighbor or a cohabitant, then the building inspector has to investigate it, and then he has to have something to go by. And I think this is pretty reasonable, right? So I listened to what you guys talked about last week on the tape, and then this, and I think this is exactly, I think our building inspector can apply this, right, if he gets a complaint, right? And then, you know, the next question is, are the attorneys, can we defend it if we do apply it? And I think we've done that. They've done their due diligence. And so
there could also be a complaint to the police department.
Exactly right. Yeah. It could be the police department or the building inspector.
Or the condo.
And we get those with dogs all the time.
Right. I was going to say, even a cat dog can cause a nuisance.
That's right.
And cats. So monkeys were taken off of the list, or primates, or whatever. And
monkeys.
So as far as this ordinance is concerned, we don't consider a monkey an exotic pet.
Right.
Okay, what if after John retires, our next building inspector goes, wow, monkeys aren't on the list, but I think it's an exotic animal.
He no longer... P&Z and make a case and have us redo the order.
Right. Or determine
that in the files.
Or determine it reasonably poses a potential danger.
Okay. I have a question on this. This thing at the end with all the animals, where you can have 4 ducks and 6 rabbits, but you can't have any goats or cows or horses or sheep or swine, I guess, or pigs, but not pot belly. When said you can't have a turkey.
You don't want a turkey in the yard next to you.
Okay, I just wanted to be absolutely sure we can have ducks and rabbits and chickens, and that's all. Okay.
Make a motion to adopt the new definition of ordinance.
I'll second that one. Nice job.
I'll do a great job being here with the last few months.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Nice job, sir.
Thank you, guys. Okay, anything else, Mr. Allen?
Yeah, good luck, John. Thank you.
Very good.
Very good.
Okay.
Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, shoreline access and beach protection, Dennis. Okay. Non-town committees, like ADA. Nothing from ADA lately? Okay. Nancy, could you make a note? We haven't heard from her for a while. Could we hear from her at the June meeting, please? Discussion and consideration of department head business, administration, and recreation.
Can I indulge council to let public works go first, make this report?
Yeah, I can move.
You don't want to sit through this?
It's had a long day already.
Yeah.
It's been hot out there today. Yeah, let me tell you,
it was a hot day.
I just wanted to let council know that the new bus station's underway. We'll be shutting down H Avenue for the next 100 days. And they're contacting police and on the website, everything else. So it's actually on the way now. So
which part of H Avenue?
Between 4th and 5th, right?
Between 4th.
Between 4th and 5th,
yeah,
just right there, right?
Yes,
okay. I was just checking. Okay.
Any other questions for we had a woman on Fort Fisher that had a parking space painted in front of her driveway. Did you guys work that out with her?
I'm not sure. I'll have to get Sonny.
If you
get
would,
back with you on that.
Please ask him to let me know what happened
yes,
to that. Okay.
In the 300 block?
I'm not sure what she called me.
I know. There's been a complaint about that in the past that I had actually dealt with.
Yeah, and she tried
somebody
to
did it again?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Administration.
Good evening, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm going to ask you to the first item under new business, proposal for use of publicly privately owned lots for paid parking. Could we move that under my business too? Mr. Robertson is going to move the summary from all overseas here.
Follow that. You are mine.
Okay.
Are you all right with that?
Yes. Sure.
Yes.
Ma'am.
Okay, cool.
That's
your
coffee.
Sure. Did you get some?
Is that yet?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Did she leave?
She didn't come to
the room. Oh, okay.
A week or so ago, two of our business owners, Mr. Robinson and Mr. Cantor, who runs a convenience store downtown, came to visit me with a proposal that they would like council to consider. That involves three lots that they privately own, vacant lots, that they would like to offer up to be used for paid parking. They would like the town to consider the enforcement or managing the contract for vendors to enforce, and then do some sort of revenue sharing at the net revenue at the end of the process. My first question to them was, why don't you do this yourself? And the answer was they want to get into the enforcement, they're not authorized to write tickets, like on the fines, set forth, and so on. I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, one of the comments too was that neither of them would want to be in the parking lot business, the parking lot business. So I took the liberty, I gave you some things in my weekly update just to consider, just playing devil's advocate. Is there merit to this? Does it? Will it help the town in any way? Will it help with tourism? Will it help with businesses? One of these lots, two of these lots are currently used. One of them the town has leased, I think, for the last 3 years. One of them is not used. The lot that we were leasing, we decided not to lease this year. That was also a public-private partnership with the town contributing and the businesses contributing to pay for that lot. That particular business owner is deciding now what he's going to do with that lot. He'd really like to do some mixed use, but he can't quite make the numbers fit within the constraints of that lot. So he has been working on rearranging that lot, leveling it out, but it is currently closed for any sort of public parking. I did take the liberty also of contacting the vendor who does pay parking in Carolina Beach to see if they could give me a real quick and easy quote for a pay station in each of these lots. Look at the lots and tell me how many spaces they thought we were using to get. This vendor does everything. Pay stations in, there will be one pay station in each lot. They do the signage with the town logo, that's all included in the quote. The only thing that's not included in the quote is the actual layout of the lot and having someone come in and put it and put in the bumpers. They will do that if we want them to, but that's not included in this initial quote. These are actual good numbers from what they see in Carolina Beach. I think they've been managing up there for 2 years now, possibly three. I'm going to hand this out real quick. I did this only to give you an idea of whether there's any revenue.
Say that again, next time. What
she was paying for. What she was paying for.
Thank you.
So this is who does Carolina Beach?
Yes.
Did you say this is kiosks or meters?
Kiosk, one kiosk in each pay, in each lot. The three lots that we're talking about is the lot next to Bud Joe's that Mike owns, and the lot behind Big Daddy's that Mike also owns, and then the lot next to the convenience store. Those that we have been using.
Next to what? I'm sorry.
Convenience store.
And the second one was the next to the community center.
There's two lots. There's three lots. Yes. One, they're both, the ones I have are 100 by 100. Behind Big Daddy's, between there and the community center, and then the one on the corner of the stoplight, those are my two. And Sam's got five lots that he bought a couple years ago.
Yeah, I apologize, but how are you going to identify individual spaces? You can't write it on the ground. These are
on
dirt
the bumpers.
Lots.
They'll be on the bumper.
They'll all be on the bumpers. So, one of your lots has some bumpers, but not all bumpers? Because I know some people park on the grass.
That aspect of it really, at this point, we're just talking. My problem is that my dirt's paid for, have been, they're parking on that since the 70s. And it's, I lose money from no property taxes being collected. I mean, I got to pay property taxes and all that, get the prices up and all that. But, I think that those people that are parking there are going to spend money in my establishments. I get it. I'm all right for that. I have a problem. I feel for Sam because he's got a mortgage on that piece of property. And he's also, we tried to make it work with the business owners, and most of us went along and helped him pay for his property taxes. The town gave him credit, was nice enough, worked out a good deal, but some of the business owners didn't ante up. And Sam's just calling up somewhat of a line. He has the biggest lot, and I don't know, I'm kind of both ways on it. I like free parking. And, for me to be sitting up here talking about paid parking, I feel like I got a fire up in my heart. But nonetheless, it's coming to that, and I don't know the answer. Nancy's been nice enough to go through some simple steps with it. The number's there. It's not really great money, but the next season, if it was actually in, it might pay all of our property taxes.
Right.
And that's about it. It's not going to help Sam with his mortgage a bit.
Right.
But that's what this guy doing. Whole deal. can't sit somebody out there with an umbrella and they don't steal the money from him. He probably make a lot more money. But Sam's in a bind down there with what he's got going on. That's my point. I'm both ways on this. I hate to be flip flopping, but I'm just, it's hard for me to.
Well, I'm very surprised. So actually, I gotta say, so I've been out of town. And,
he wouldn't meet both.
Yeah, I've been out of town, so I haven't really been able to stop by and have a beer. But I'm pretty surprised. So
I got with it because of Sam. I'm in support of Sam with what he's got going on over there.
Right.
He's a hardworking man.
Right.
And he this will help him. Then I think somehow or other it ought to be done if it can help him.
Right.
So if y'all can help me. Yeah. As far as my other two lots, I care for them to
I would say
I'm in more support of Sam than I am with each of them.
Right. Yeah.
I would say factually, you were the force that helped Sam use that lot.
Right.
Well, I'm also
and you already had your own lots. I don't want anybody to get the wrong impression. You might be soft, Mike, but you know, you do have your own lots and you were very helpful on the other one.
Well, it made sense, and it was really the only way of helping him with at least property taxes. And then helping him with his mortgage, and it's a substantial mortgage. I mean, I'm making a nickel off of nothing.
Right. So, Nancy, what's the risk? If no one parks there, how much has the town talked about risking? That's where
I need to look at. Right?
If you look on page 3, and again, this company, the only thing that I would recommend to you, if you're considering this at all, this late in the season, is to go with company that handles everything.
Yep, I agree.
That's the least impact to the town and the town staff. And that's what this company does. They install it, put up the signage, they write the tickets, they monitor it, they collect the money, they collect the cash money, they deal with credit card processing, and then they write us a check for whatever's left over. On page 3, at the bottom, you'll see a little chart. It's got lot number 106. That's the one on North 3rd, which is right next to Bud and Jones. No, yeah, sorry, next to the Big Daddy's.
That's behind Big Daddy's.
They're saying 15 spaces in that
lot. It should be
lot.
20.
15?
Should be 20.
Well, they're looking at...
Well, you think, Mike, 20?
If you're going to do it the way... I mean, they park 33 on it now.
Yeah.
So if you're going to do it correctly and the way it's supposed to be and...
So people can back out.
20 or 21 on
100
by
100.
Right.
Okay.
The next one, 102. That's one on North Fort Worth Bishop Boulevard, which is right next to Button Jones, and that's they're saying 20.
Yes.
And then 112, that's on Southport Bishop Boulevard, that's 50. That's one that's the biggest store. I think right now with the town leasing it, it was 40 is what we have that one marked off.
No, you had one. And you, Greg?
I'm sorry.
40 on that spot, didn't you?
We had originally thought we'd get 56. I think we got close to like 48.
Yeah.
Right, close to 50 or more. Now, we did block off a lot of that lot.
Yeah.
Right.
That many
and Sam's rearranging that lot to get more out of it.
So, total spaces would be 85 if you look at $1.50 a day or $8 a day. Again, this is based on what Carolina Beach does, which can certainly change those amounts. Looking at starting July and only running July, August, and September, this is just a proposal depending on what we would have to do statute-wise for advertising. Your net revenue would be $47,000. Now, I mean your gross revenue. If you look on page 5, in the first column, partial year 1, you'll see that same revenue.
Yeah.
Then you'll see, because this company is hiring staff, they're putting them in parts or whatever that they go around. They're handling the credit card fees, everything related to that. You're looking at a net revenue of $10,758, which would be dispersed between the town and the two businesses on whatever agreed percentage negotiated. If you look at the second column, full year 2, that's based on the same numbers, same lots for 6 months, as through September. You bring in gross revenue of $72,440. Net revenue from the 35,585 again split between the three concerns. The main thing that the town would be on the hook for would be the section for expenses, the payroll benefits, operating expenses, and management fee. So your expense total line at the bottom for partial year is 29,539.
Right.
Now, the contract would be written with a 30-day out. and could find it, we find that we're not making money, we said we want out. So that does mitigate that risk. But there is risk to the town. We could do this and it could rain every day and not make any money.
Wow.
Now, I know, are they assuming 100% use?
No.
Are they assuming 50% use?
No, this is based on what they see in Carolina Beach, whatever that average is. I asked that question, but it's not looking at 100% full, just looking at what they're actually, where people are actually parking in similar lots, the similar location
Correct.
To the beach.
And what are the times?
I think he said 8 to 6. Daylight, and again, this is based on what Carolina Beach does, 8 in the morning to 6. They don't park after that. Again, the fines would be up to us.
Right.
Okay, and I assume we're talking no free passes for residents.
No. And this does not involve any town property. We're
Correct.
Not using any land that any taxpayer money has gone to acquire. This is strictly on private lots. These are a lot of my overflow lots, except a figure lot by Glen Joe's is full all the time.
So the town's contribution is procuring or leasing that, and we pay the operating expenses from which a check comes in for the Delta, hopefully, and we would share that to some degree with the merchants who own the property. Is that what the...
Which means about $3,000 each.
Yeah, potentially.
Well,
yeah.
I would assume a big portion will have
I would think
lots of space.
Correct.
Yeah.
Well, not by spaces?
Pardon?
Not by spaces?
I think it's going to be a little tight on what you do.
But this, again, this assumes July. Part of this, the reason they did that, if you're, by state law, if you're entering into a contract for goods and services more than $30,000, you have to do a request for proposals. Their operating expenses actually come in right at 29. That would exempt us from having to do that, which we could start this much sooner. I mean, they have the equipment. It's mainly how long it takes the town to do what they have to do in the budget.
Right.
But that is my understanding that the town would be the front person, if you will. We obviously have houses and waiver and all that sort of thing like we have now, or had with the conflict, at least we have.
Well, let me ask you and Mike. What is Sam's reasoning for not going on and setting up someone, a teenager or old person there at the gate to collect and do
that? How many employees you got? You got a bunch of employees around here and you got problems. Mm-hmm. That's the reason. Because it could be one more paying above.
I mean, he'd make so much more money.
Well, he would
have
to be
he gotta pay that guy.
Necessarily the case. But
right.
you still have to manage people,
right.
and people are people.
And it wouldn't be wonderful,
cash,
yeah. Right.
You got a problem.
Well, he also indicated to me if he did it, he would hire somebody to sit under the phone and he would charge a flat fee for the day, which he doesn't think would be as revenue generating for him, and he feels like that would hurt restaurants, too, that nobody's going to want to pay $8 to go have a meal with Jack Nex.
Right.
So they might put $3 in the meal.
What did you say?
He was, yeah, he
maybe
didn't hear.
Maybe on 50%
right. Yeah, how much is
he
the
day?
He
had said when we were in my office about if he did it, he would charge $12. So whenever you park there, you would pay $12.
Right.
Whatever it is, park. And then he thought that might hurt businesses for somebody who just wants to come and have a meal or take a walk in the park off and walk in the
Yeah.
It's going to be something different. It's going to change. I mean,
right.
that's just all there is to it. If it comes fast, I mean, there'll be more talk about that if it was a civil war.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's already on Facebook, right?
Oh, I wouldn't.
So, yeah.
I mean, I find it hard to believe I'm sitting here.
Well, there's a couple ancillary costs, too. I'd already talked to our police chief, and before I knew about this program, he said, God, do everything you can to not get involved in that if the police department has to do all of the ticketing. He said,
but
I can't
it sounds
do it.
Like the company
That's
is
right.
doing all
exactly.
that.
Oh, yeah, which is totally different from, you know,
yeah.
as far as I know, we don't need to consider a police department, but we do have to consider public works.
If I had to characterize this, I would say that the town is putting up the asset
right.
to get a greater return on the money.
Right. Yeah, where it's an investment.
Yes.
And there's two reasons to invest. One is to make money. We're not going to make a lot of money, but the other reason is to invest to understand, right? And I think, as Nancy pointed out, we've been questioned about paid parking a lot of times from a lot of different standards, from a county commissioner saying we're not doing enough to get money for beach renourishment, which is stupid, they don't understand, but still a question, to multiple citizens, right? So if we have the business owners now saying, okay, try this with us, I think it's a great idea. It's pretty low risk if we can get out in 30 days. So the worst thing that would happen, in my view, is it would cost us $10,000 because we put it all in, no one parks there at all, and it takes us 30 days to get out. So that's the worst thing that could happen, right? We invest $10,000 and we lose it all to find out that no one's willing to pay there. And I don't think that'll happen, honestly, so I think it's much less than that. I think there's a lot of reasons to do it, especially if it gets, if the business owners are saying this is okay with them, I think we should do it. That's my input to the council, and we should just monitor it very closely so we can bail out before we lose a lot of money.
Who will clean the lots up? Between daily, this is
that's what we have to negotiate as right.
So at 6 o'clock, you may stop parking, somebody else sweep the park at night, sweep the broom, but walk in the parking lot to pick up garbage.
I would tell you, some of these expenses haven't been challenged yet. So,
does our liability increase?
They pay the liability insurance, it's their liability.
No, all we're doing is investing. It's not our property.
It's not our property.
Okay.
To the point about public works, I mean, the police are going to respond now.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it's paid, it's privately paid, or it's not. I mean, they're going to...
No, this program, I'm sure Michael said that this negates whatever concerns he had.
And for public works, if there's a garbage cart there, they're going to pick it up like they do now. That's a good point. I had thought about that at the end of the day. That may be something that...
Well, we've been cleaning one of them already. I don't know what we've been doing, but we have done.
When you two guys were discussing this, was there a bottom line that was reached as far as break even? A ballpark figure that when does bad become good?
No, we just came up with it. I just came along with in support, we had nothing. He had done some research, and he found out that the people that he was thinking about using were not people he wanted to use after all, after hearing some stories and whatnot. But Nancy's gone a little bit further with it, and I trust what she's come up with.
You run the figures, if Mike decides that Arrowin is hard as killing him and he does not want to include those two lots. Have you run the figures just for Sam's lot?
It'll be right there on the
bottom of the page.
Yeah.
If you just look at the bottom lot.
If you're going to have those two other lots free and Sam alone, I think that'd be a problem. I've never seen any of those lots empty, actually.
I don't see them. They're going to fill up in cars. I mean, I've traded for 10 years raising my price on the figure from $5 to $8. Mm-hmm. And I've not got any flack from it. I've had people ask me, why haven't you gone up on your price earlier?
Right.
And in 1996, I think it was when I went to $5 and I kept it from there. But it'll be the same thing with this.
Oh, yeah.
People, my wife will be the first one to the closest one to wherever it is she wants to go, pay the money and get out and not even think twice about it.
Yeah.
You take those three lots out of the equation, that pretty much does it for paid parking in the rest of the town. Because there is a third of the parking spaces.
At least a third of the parking. I guess there's only a couple hundred.
The rest of the town would have to stay free because you would never generate the revenue for the rest of the town.
Well,
we've
got, 140 on the Atlantic Avenue in K. If you look at your heart of the town, which is where most people want to be, shot up here.
Yeah.
It's packed all the time. It's just packed.
So that's the place you got to work.
Right.
I mean, it's place
got the access.
No,
you have to check.
Well, we do, but
that's not the same.
Right.
Not a lot. I'll say it again. You got lots of right of ways on every one of these roads around here. All you got to do is cut the grass up and put a parking place right now.
Right. I would say this. based on these numbers. And Emily had a good point. Based on these numbers, Mike, you couldn't pull out individually.
Yeah.
You cannot pull out individually. We'd all have to pull out together. Or somebody's going to be really stuffed on the numbers here.
Yeah.
Right?
Looking at these numbers, I don't think the parking company will do it if your two lots aren't included.
Do you have a copy of it, Mike?
Okay. Yeah, they will do it.
Yeah.
They'll do it. They're going to Carolina Beach. I know.
But they're making tons of money over there. You take $17,000 from there, that won't even cover their expenses.
Their expenses will go down. Because they'll take out two of the pay station, they won't have to come and check one lot.
And then they take $40,000 off the top, we will be in the hole.
That's what I'm saying. I think council, fiduciarily, we have to check the numbers every month and vote every month to stay in or get out. Because I think that's the only way to do it. So I agree, we should minimize the risk, but I think it's a smart thing to do for the town to understand this whole paid parking thing. And the company that goes right to Atlantic Avenue is not going to have a problem coming down the half mile or less to do one lot or three. Mm-hmm. They won't have a problem. And their expenses will go down proportionally based on it. So they won't lose out. You know, I don't think they will, right? Their expenses will go down. So plus, they want to be down here anyway. So long term, they might even take it as a loss leader for a whole season anyway. So I think Craig could beat him up on numbers just to get him down a little bit with Sam, and then we should do it. That's my opinion.
I'd be happy. This is probably the least expensive way to.
I know. I'm with Arlen, right? Yeah. It's like.
I mean,
to find out.
The risk is minimal to see if it actually works.
That's what I'm saying. You know, and you know, Arlen could enter it as zero, and then we have to do an amendment. If, you know, say we're not going to make money, we're not going to lose money, and then that's probably where I would say it probably fits, just looking at it, and then decide month to month how it goes.
And what's the town's cost to prepare Mike's two lots?
That would be something negotiable. We can either ask the vendor how much they would charge to do it and take that as off the net revenue, or you can decide whether you want Public Works, whether everything right. Public Works has on their plate right now, I would think.
Yeah, I think that's what Sonny would say too right now. Yeah.
Just because of where we are in the season already.
I think buying bumpers is not that big a deal.
Well, we have tons of, we've taken the bumpers out of the lot that we were missing.
You mean next to Sam?
Mm-hmm.
No, he's using those bumpers.
Because I was questioned about that. Well, is the town going to take everything out? It's not going to be free anymore.
Well, we put the fencing in and we put the bumpers in, so that's the question too.
The bumpers, we can get more bumpers, but we will need more bumpers, and they do need to be stenciled with a number, I assume.
Right.
So, where are we?
Make a motion.
Anybody out there have
yeah.
Go ahead. Are most of the lots up there, they're paved?
In Carolina Beach, I think
yeah.
They are.
Oh.
There are.
That's a big difference.
Parking spot number either. You go to the station and
when you put it in,
you have to put on your
Oh, that's even better then.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't think you have to mark it if you don't have that receipt.
Right. Yeah, the receipt goes on your. That's right. I just did that this past week. Yeah. So that makes it even better. You might not have to. So I make a motion. We give guidance to the town clerk to continue pursuing this. And I guess they're going to want a contract, right?
Yes.
I'm trying to think, what's the right motion, Nancy, to get you to go forward?
GI volunteer Mayor Pro Tem Lisinski to work
with. Sure.
I would say.
We'll bring Mike.
Or sit down.
Please don't come over the counter at me. I would say we do this if Mike Robertson participates with his two lots.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Well, then you can.
I may do one, Emily. I don't know that I'll do two.
No. That wasn't the initial conversation.
We arm wrestle.
Yeah. Well. Okay. So if caveat. So then, you know, I make a motion that we give permission for Commissioner Blazinski and Nancy Avery to work with the two business owners of the lots, to engage in contract negotiations with the parking committee, and assuming all three entities are in favor, sign a contract with a 30-day out to have paid parking on two or three lots as defined by the three groups. How's that?
That was the parking company, not the parking committee.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that. Sorry.
What he said. On the company. You get to explain it to Nancy.
She's got it. She's real smart. She got it.
Second?
Wow. I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Nice.
Okay, unfortunately, I have several things, so you're going to be here for a while. Next on the agenda is.
Oh, may I ask you, Nancy?
Yeah.
You know, if negotiations don't work out and all don't follow through with a contract that's dramatically different from what we have in here, come call us and talk to us, okay?
That's right.
Okay.
We certainly will be using our attorney.
Okay. Request consideration of a special meeting on Tuesday, June 20th at 2 p.m. It's time to do the department head evaluations again. It should need to be done before June 30th. That's just a suggestion of a day. That's the same day as your council meeting. I'm coming up with any whatever day works for council.
What are you taking after that?
Whatever. I'm driving up the Hickory after this. I make a motion we set the departmental evaluations for June 20th starting at 2 p.m.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Me too.
Opposed?
Next is replacement of the community center building roof. In your agenda packet, I gave you a long-winded memo. Several options. I've boiled it down to you in my weekly update. We have had some leaks in the building. We had our insurance adjuster come out and take a look. Half the building, the roof is 10 years old, half of it is 25 years old. We recently replaced some shingles, and we've had maybe three leaks in the last year. Cost to replace with a similar shingle roof. The insurance company is paying $5,500, I think, of course, the cost.
Yes. And this is a League of Municipalities insurance company?
Yes,
is that what I understand?
Yes, they handle our property liability insurance. Is this a vendor?
I can't believe they are not willing to pay for the whole roof. I've been through this.
It's based on how old
with houses before, and I can't believe it.
How old is the roof? Because they prorate it based on age.
Half of it's 10 years old, half of it's 25.
Right. The reason why, Emily, is because of how old it is.
Mm-hmm.
Same with your homeowner's policy. They're prorated based off age.
But they are paying $5,876, which is based on 50% of what it would cost to replace a similar roof. They have seen the quotes that we received for a shingle roof and for a metal roof. And they can only pay to replace what's existing because they consider a metal roof an upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking with Public Works Director Beaker about it, his preference is a metal roof for the maintenance, long-term wear and tear. I've gotten various, I've spoken with the building inspector, and if you can correct me, right, he thinks we should go with a shingle roof. And then I spoke with a contractor, a local contractor, and he said shingle roof, but only because some of the warranty requirements on the metal roof can be difficult to deal with.
If we improve, or if the metal roof is an enhancement, do we get a reduction on our insurance?
I didn't ask that question. That's
sure not. So why do you recommend a shingle roof, building inspector, just for interest?
I'd rather have one tab blow off than a whole sheet.
Okay.
You think
have you
one
seen
tab
how the sheets
blow
off?
I have, right behind me. I mean, just like a sardine can. Just.
Yep.
Well, that could have been a defect, but there's different gauges and different standards for metal roofs, and I told Nancy
that if we're going to do one, I suggest doing one like we have on the Pleasure Front Park,
yeah,
which is a standing seam roof, which is much more expensive than the average metal roof you see on these houses that are being installed.
Is that more expensive than what we have a bid on?
Yes, about $10,000 more. So
how many,
about $25,000.
How many bids did you get besides this Carolina
building? We're only successful in getting one. We asked three companies to come down, but only one complied. You actually gave us a bid.
Flores and Foley, one of them?
No, they never did. This is Carolina Building Specialist, who does a lot of roofs here. Mm-hmm. So looking at long-term maintenance, energy efficiency, what I had said recommended to you was the metal roof, but it will require transfer from the contingency fund of $15,196. If you want to go with the shingle roof, I don't have the exact number in front of you, but it would be around $5,500.
Yeah,
we'll figure that out. So whatever you decide, then you need to adopt a resolution transferring the money from the contingency fund.
So the $11,450 bid for shingled roof, it doesn't say in your write-up here, is that too? They'll take the existing roof off.
It is, both of the bids are to take the roof off, and that's something I spoke with Plumbers Director Beaver about, that's his preference. We don't know. There are two or three roofs we think underneath this, and this building was built in 1950-something.
Yep.
So we don't know. We have recently replaced some of the,
soffit
on the outside
of
the that was rotten.
Fascia.
Yeah. So, yes, we want, I would suggest, recommend that we take the roof off. So it would be for the shingle roof, it would be $5,876 from contingency. For the metal roof, it would be $15,196.
Sure. Okay, guys, what do you think?
Yeah, well, I like the 10-year warranty.
Yeah, the 10-year warranty is.
I think
spending
yeah.
twice the money for twice the warranty.
And that's against leaks, and it includes a rubber underpinning
yeah.
to help minimize damage from leaks.
I make
that ice
yeah. I'll make the motion that we choose option 4 with a 10-year warranty and do whatever transfer is required to do that from contingency funds. Since we are good this year, we only have a month and a half left. We should be good, right, Earl? Nothing else happens.
Never know.
Yeah, you never know. Right?
I second that motion.
I would have to say I'm very, very concerned that we're not listening to our building inspector, and that if this thing comes off of there, you know who I'm coming to see about paying for it. So
I'm sure he'll say he told us so.
Yeah.
All
wind,
those
wind and hail better cover it.
All the yeah, good luck on that. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay. Okay, one more motion to
nay.
Yeah, make a motion to accept resolution R17-08 transferring $15,196 from contingency fund to community center maintenance line.
And that means there's no money left in the maintenance fund right now, right, Arlen? We've used up every bit of it.
She's asking if there's any money or still left in the maintenance line item. There's probably very little, but
there'll probably be some because there's still costs to be incurred the rest of the year, community service.
Okay.
I'm not sure what else. Pest control, that kind of stuff. So.
Right.
Nancy, I know we have rules, but did we look beyond? Did we look at two or three bids?
We called three different companies, and we only one would come and actually bid. The other two kept promising us, and then
that's
right. Okay.
You can go back and get more. It's not urgent. It's just something that's on the horizon.
Okay.
So I'll make
motion against?
I will say the insurance adjuster saw this. He felt they were actually lower than what he expected them to be.
I saw it from Joel.
Well, that's funny. He said that in one paragraph, and then in the next one, he said that they were $1,000 higher. One time he said they're lower, and next time he said they were higher. I don't place much faith in him. Okay, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? I would make a request. I'm sorry Jimmy has left and didn't sit through the rest of this wonderful meeting, but would you please mention to our public works director whether we have a metal or shingle or whatever over there? Will he please keep those trees trimmed back?
It's on private property. It's not on private property.
Then could we contact them and indicate that they're damaging the building, and could they please keep their trees cut back? It's Lyle, isn't it?
But normally, if someone's tree is affecting someone else's property, they have every right to trim it back so that it's not affecting their property anymore.
Okay, so we can trim them back even though it's
absolutely
there. Okay. Please direct Sonny to trim them back.
I'll suggest.
I got it. I'll talk.
Rigor.
I'm going to kill the tree.
Thank you. Okay. What's next?
Draft RFQ for project manager services. There's a sample, a draft in your project. I'm sorry, it's been a long few days. In your agenda packet. I also, in my weekly update, I had the attorney review that draft, and he came back with some better language, which I was thankful for, and I included that in your weekly update. What is in this RFQ is everything that starts from where the architect responsibilities ends. So it includes assisting the town in timely meeting its obligations and responsibilities on this construction project, assisting the town in preparing, publishing, surveying the bidding documents, and evaluating the bids from a construction company, assisting in the selection of a general contractor and approval of subcontractors and material men, recommending the retention and use of consultants as dictated by project requirements, reviewing, monitoring, advising, and reporting to the town on plans and drawings, specs, contracts, schedule of values, schedule of phasing, submittals, design changes, pretty much overseeing the project from beginning to end, and in conjunction with the architect and general contractor, subcontractors as needed, preparing, monitoring, tracking, master project schedule, facilitating proper and efficient communication among the town, the architect, the general contractor, subcontractors, and material men, facilitating the free flow exchange of information and accurate record keeping on the project, attending and participating in all pre-construction, progress, and project meetings, preparing, monitoring, tracking, modifying a comprehensive project budget, including hard and soft costs linked to the project with monthly updates from state accounts, inspecting the work for quality and compliance with contract documents and industry standards on a weekly basis, or more frequently as directed by the town. We'll come back to that one. Meeting weekly with the town's designated representative to report on and review all key aspects of the project. Reporting monthly to the town council on the status, including the project schedule, budget, pending issues, and changes. Preparing project documentation to memorialize the project record.
Comment was
on the proposal submission. That's 6.5 weeks from now. That's an awful long time. Was that the architect's request that we wait and not receive it till the end of June?
No, that was my timeline. We've just started with the architect. They're looking at not going out to bid for a contractor until September. They're going to be spending this time in the plans and specs. I thought you might want to bring your project manager in the beginning of August so that you're on board in time to meet with the architect and be prepared for the bids process. If you wanted to come, him or her to come sooner, we can certainly change that timeline. I was looking at, we're on May 16th, you approved this, I've been now advertised We can bring it back to the June meeting if you want, rather than July. It just won't give the people as much time to respond.
I would think we would want Tim involved in the bid process, personally.
Yeah. Well, and I think this was the time we were talking about in the last meeting we had on this.
Yeah.
That here's when stuff should happen. This is right on the track for that timeline.
Yeah.
Because that gives us July to interview and choose, and then they start in August, exactly on track. And I like how you left it. We may choose someone, we may not. I really like some of the things you have in here about what we decide to do. So I'm not sure who I worked on it, but whoever did, good job. So.
Well, and I did have the attorney review it because, it's my understanding, we have to be careful with where the responsibility falls. If the town is undertakes on too much, then we're limited in the liability to the contract and the architect, and we don't want.
That's right. Exactly right. No, exactly right.
Where it belongs.
But the town reservations is the section I was talking about. I don't know who worked with you guys on it, but very nice job.
Steve Crouch.
Yeah. But I meant with the people in the room that worked on it. Yeah. Did a nice job.
Do I, there aren't any other questions or comments?
At least from my perspective, the I'm looking at this thing as basically as three separate projects going on simultaneously. Even if the architect did a really great job, I think that's way too many balls in the air for one firm to do. I'm 100% to hire somebody to do this. If the only thing that they do is just keep all three projects on schedule, it'll be worth every penny that he's paid. Because once we have a problem with one of the projects, especially if it's the fire station, it's going to snowball into the other projects, and there's going to be delays and finance problems along with the delays.
I agree with you completely, plus the two or three things the architect absolutely does not do that we don't have the staff to do. There will be somebody there to pick it up. Okay, do I hear a motion?
I make a motion to accept the proposal from staff and move forward with advertising.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, what's next?
I have one more real quick thing, Nancy. I'm sorry.
Okay, that's fine.
This was not on your agenda. It came to me after the agenda packet. I have a request from the homeowner about how bright they feel that the streetlight is that's right in front of their house. They're willing to pay for a shield. They had already talked to Duke Energy, and of course, Duke Energy referred them to us. It's our account with Duke Energy. I did contact Duke Energy. They will put a shield on at the town request for a one-time fee of $150. I'm asking council for authorization to allow us to handle it on an individual basis if the property owner is willing to pay the $150 for the request. At your meeting in June last year, you made a motion not to put shields on every light or for the town to pay for that.
Right.
So this is...
Well, the town's not paying for it this time.
Right.
No, that's right.
But we do have to, pay for it, and he has to reimburse us. Yes. Okay, I want everybody to be clear on that. And especially if we, open up the floodgates here.
Oh, that's exactly right.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, they will write us a check before,
before we pay for it.
Yes.
That's right. Yeah, exactly right. There we go.
And you're handling all of this, not Public Works, right?
No, we won't put it on Public Works. It will probably end up being our staff.
Correct.
To handle the transactions, but I'm told the shields will either go on the back of the light or the front, not on the sides. So it may even be, I don't want it on the front because the purpose of the street lights is to light up the streets.
Well, it depends on what direction the light points. I mean, this may not work for him at all if he's in a situation where the side of the light comes into his house like ours does. It won't work.
Right.
So if it doesn't work, does he understand he still has to pay for it?
So Duke can't move the shield around any way they want?
No. They can only put it on the front or the back or both. I guess they put two shields on there, front and back.
It'll work for this particular.
It will not
okay,
work if it's turned in such a way that the side of the light comes in your house.
Nancy. They're going to send me a picture, so I can show the homeowner.
Perfect.
The homeowner, they want it, they don't want it, but if they pay for it, it doesn't work.
So I make a motion we allow staff to work with homeowners and Duke Energy if they can solve their problem, and the homeowners are responsible for paying for it.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you. You're done.
You've got the membership policy.
You haven't done the
membership
committee policy.
Feel free to do it. You want me to
try it? There you go.
Well, basically, since I'll probably be holding the meeting, I'm just going to do that from here. And that is that on the committee.
I think you need to stand up there, okay? So you have something to hold on to when I start asking you questions.
Okay. You want to look at it? I know. See, there you go. On our committee general policy, as you can see in your packet, one part of it says, except as noted below, any full-time resident of Curie Beach is eligible to serve on appointed committees, boards, and commissions. And yet, in section E2B, it says a resident or property owner becomes eligible to serve, et cetera, et cetera. And we did have a Carolina Beach person who signed up when Craig was at the 70th anniversary, who lives in Carolina Beach but owns property in Curie Beach. And she would like to join one of our committees.
Which
committee? Usually, we've stayed with it just being a full-time resident, or a resident. But this, if I could just have clarification from you all, what you would like it to be.
Which committee?
This is for any of our ad hoc committees or any of our committees, to be honest with you.
Well, I'd have I don't know if I'd go along with planning board
which
on that.
Which does allow for some of our members to be in the business community.
Back in the day, when we first made these up, we had a dry spell like we're going through now. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, the language was changed to give us a wider group of people that we could get on the committee and still have them have a vested interest in the town.
Wow.
And obviously we skipped a sentence further on. So that's
my
background.
My particular view, we ask for volunteers. And we identified committees that could use volunteers. There's nothing that's, we have set numbers on the committees, unless the committees ask for them to be increased. And I think you can be a volunteer, but I don't know that if, unless you have residency, I don't know, you should be voting on what's going to happen for the people who do have residency.
Well, with their property owners, I've got to make, so I have two questions. One, Andy, for P&Z and Board of Adjustments, is it a requirement you're a resident from the state? Those are separate first.
So Board of Adjustments.
Board of Adjustments has to be a resident of the town. That's what I thought. Not P&Z though?
I think you have to be P&Z.
P&Z also.
Right. So then we're talking about those are out. Cool. So then, I'm with you guys. I'm okay either way, right? So I like Jim's, you know, we were trying to get a bigger wet net, and then Craig's, well, people should be in town voting on stuff that impacts the residents. But property owners have a vested interest too, whether they live here or not.
Because we had some valuable people that moved off the island and still wanted to maintain. And we ended up going definitely not.
I remember that.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm okay.
Several.
Yeah, I really.
Now, I will say that one thing I did say in the email that I sent to the three people that signed up, which is really great, is that I also gave them Nikki's information and I gave their information to Nikki to say, you know, if there's a committee that you really didn't want to be on, but you wanted to be a craft person or a kids craft person or whatever, I've given your name to Nikki and you can also call her if you're interested in helping with events.
Yeah.
that gives non-Curie Beach residents something who signed up,
right.
That gives them something that they can always volunteer to help us out with, but not on an ad hoc or whatever permanent form, you know, PNC or BOA. Well.
Okay, since we have opened this can of worms, because I have been asking about section 1.01 over and over and over again. Frankly, I would like for the entire section to be looked at, whether it's Andy or you or us or whoever it is. And I will start with, and I don't know who came up with ad hoc, but ad hoc committees, let me read a little definition here to you. Ad hoc, for one particular exclusive purpose, one purpose, like the 70th anniversary or the street fair, okay? These committees have a lot of other purposes.
We're looking at recreation. We're looking at recreation.
That's gone.
We're looking at parking. Whatever. But one purpose doesn't mean one time.
The standing. No, I didn't say one time. I said one purpose, okay?
Okay.
Standing. Standing. Very high status. A duration. Long standing. Okay? Our committees are long standing. They have been here for years. Hopefully they're going to be here for years. Okay, I can see a parking one when we start talking about our survey and whether we're going to have paid parking might be an ad hoc committee that's not going to go on for years and years and years.
Okay.
Our street festival, our wonderful ladies back here from our 70th festival, that's one particular purpose and it's over with and you guys can take a break. I believe the two committees we have right now are standing committees, not ad hoc committees, and I would like to see that revised. But in addition to that, you're right. First one, B1, any full-time resident. But B2, the sentence makes absolutely no sense at all and needs to be completely rewritten depending on what you guys decide. If you want to take it out, that's fine. But if it stays in here, this sentence makes absolutely no sense at all and needs to be rewritten. The town is requested to prepare and, the committee is expected to prepare and submit to council a minimum of requirements for committee membership. When was the last time your committees did that?
I don't know that they ever did that.
Okay.
Is it council?
So again, we have something in there that we don't know whether we need it or we want it.
Right.
If we want it, then we need to be asking the committees to do it. Number six, no person may serve on a committee, not upon a committee. He's not sleeping upon it or sitting on it like a sofa.
And I wonder,
there it's just one after another that is not well written, makes no sense at all, has the wrong wording, and I would like to see this entire section gone through and
but see I feel like
it.
Council, maybe two council members are really supposed should do that. Because to leave that with us, what if we do something you all don't like? I mean
you'll
we
hear
can do
about
it, but
it,
especially
yes,
the mayor, I think that maybe you
we could do like exotic pets and for months do it over and over and over and over again until you get it right.
Okay, so
make a suggestion, you know, about how it's done because I have and it hasn't gone.
Well, actually, we took
mosquito.
Everything that we did from you and we made it.
Yeah, you did.
For your information, this was done by Mr. Fuller and company.
Well, there are a lot of corrections that are needed, and Ms. Swearingen will be glad to take it on.
Perfect.
If the rest
I'll make a motion.
If the rest of you will look at it and tell me what areas you have an issue with, you can just put the number. You know, this one
sure
needs to be deleted. This one on, do they report to us three unexcused absences and why the people were out and all this mm-hmm. other? No. Okay.
They do, if they have the situation. We have not had the situation in a while.
If you,
it has happened in the past, Mayor.
Right. Well, I know it happened on the Recreation Committee, and nobody reported anything. So I'll be glad to work with you on it if the rest of you will give me some suggestions. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, I do have somebody from Caroline Beach waiting for an answer.
Okay. I'll propose a motion, and then you can vote one way or the other, obviously.
Let's vote to get this person to put her on that committee.
Yeah. I move we allow volunteers from outside of town to participate in town projects if the town memberships agree. I also think that if you do not have permanent residency, you should not have a voting position on a town-directed council. That's the end of the motion. But what I'm thinking of is we have college students come down and put in COs. We have a lot of things that do get done by people from outside of the town. That's a volunteer condition as opposed to a voting condition. Well, so I have my motion.
Isn't there something somewhere in here about the committees get to interview people who are applying for membership?
They usually do.
Okay, that's a good way to start that they could come and interview with the committee and the committees talk to them about why they want to be on
there.
Even
planning and zoning. I'll second.
They should.
Planning and zoning did not want to do that.
Thank you. So we have a second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Yeah. That means your first duty is to rewrite B so it makes sense. Okay, what else? Who's next? Where are we?
We're in finance department.
Finance?
Yeah. I'm going to do the budget now.
Can't we just pass it?
That's what we're going to do, Phil.
Is that one that everybody
sure,
going
to do the budget?
Yeah, exactly. They trust you, Ron. It's all because of you. I'm good. Look at them. I'm good. I'm good with what you guys have done. I listen to every meeting, including the funny parts.
I have somebody where it kind of covers the highlights so I can kind of.
Yep. That's
and,
good.
And if there's anything anybody wants me to go in more detail, I can do that. Budget has to be either that or interim budget has to be adopted before July 1st.
what you had in your agenda packet, really, the budget proposal consists of these three parts: the budget message, which is the first document that you would have come across, 30 plus pages, I believe, but that summarizes the budget, gives the key highlights, and identifies the significant differences from the current year. The next document was the budget draft budget ordinance, and that's the legal document that contains the budget of revenues and expenditures and other statutory requirements. And the third document is the draft fee schedule, which shows the amount of fees and other rates for panel provided services. To also say, if anyone's interested at any point, there's a whole detailed line item budget available for every department, for every fund, every department, every revenue type that anyone would like to take a look at. Also says the proposal takes into account things that were information gathered at like the annual retreat in January, and then the budget work sessions that occurred in April. And then it also supports the four goals the council at the last budget work session in April, which was one, to work smarter to maintain and improve our quality of life in Kiri Beach. Two, ensure the integrity of financial data and maintain financial stability in all town funds. Three, to enable an optimum working environment for staff to produce high levels of service to the public. And four, provide all departments with the support to maintain a safe working and living environment. So with that, I'll move on to the actual summary of the proposed budget, which is comprised of the seven funds that you see listed there. If we go down to the very bottom, you'll see that the grand total is just about $7.6 million, which is actually less than last year's grand total by $163,000. And if you go down the list, our biggest fund is the general fund at $4.6 million. The water and sewer at $2.15 million. Stormwater fund at $630,000. Alco fund at $65,000. Beach protection at $47,000. Federal asset forfeiture fund at $50,000. And the sewer expansion reserve fund at a little over $30,000. So what I'd like to do is go fund by fund and just kind of give the highlights for each one of those. Unless anyone has any questions at this point. So about those, I'll start with the general fund. Just run through some of the highlights. The first one is the proposed tax rate. What's proposed here is 28.5 cents per $100 of value. That is the same rate that we've had for this current year. But I will say that there was a revaluation done, and that proposed rate is 1.3 cents greater than the revenue neutral tax rate. And I'm going to cover the whole revaluation and revenue neutral information in just a couple minutes. But the second item there is a couple general fund fee increases. The first one's a little confusing on the residential garbage cart. The thing is, if you have one garbage cart, it's going to remain at $6 for that cart, so no increase. If you have more than one cart, the first cart would stay at $6. Every cart after that would go to $12.
Mm-hmm. And that was good discussion in y'all's meeting, by the way, about the whole garbage process. So.
On the next one that you're doing, down there with appliances, is that $15 for each?
Mm-hmm.
Or $15, okay.
For each appliance.
Okay. Should we beside appliances in parentheses, put each?
We can do that.
Okay.
I can do that on the
so they don't schedule. Think they can put three or four out there and pay 15 for the whole load?
That's fine.
Okay.
And what this is these fees haven't been increased in 10 plus years.
Yep.
And it is a 50% increase of the fee, but it's that Thursday pickup at the arrangement of Public Works, and it really is necessary to cover the costs that we incur to provide the service. Next general fund highlight is that it does include a 1.5% cost of living adjustment and 2.5% merit increase pool for employees. number four, no increase in the number of full-time employees. Number five, it includes capital expenditures totaling just a little bit less than $215,000. Number six is it includes a transfer of $46,450 to the Beach Protection Fund. Number seven is it includes a contingency of $48,100. And then just overall, I'd like to say that the budget is greater than the current year, but only by 2.7%. I thought I'd move into just quickly run through the revenue budget for the general fund. And really, I'll just primarily focus on the top three items, which are property taxes, which are 54% of the budgeted revenue, sales tax at 18%, and garbage and recycling fees at 8%. So just those three revenue sources are like about 81% of the revenue, or about $3.7 million of the budget. I believe most of the other categories are, for the most part, self-explanatory on what they are. Other revenue, the largest components there. For this year, actually, are with the, we received two camera grants for improvements at P&I beach accesses for over $89,000. So that's a significant part of the other revenue category, in addition to the sales tax refund that we'll get, which is estimated at about $54,000. So those two items make up the bulk of that other category. And other financing sources are loans that we take that, for governmental purposes, counts as revenue. So that's reflected there. If anyone has any questions on that at this point. So spend a little more time just talking about the revaluation, countywide revaluation, and the calculation of our revenue neutral tax rate. What I wanted to start out with was some information that just shows the impact of the revaluation by jurisdiction within the Hanover County. And you'll see that Curie Beach at the top is was about 6.1% increase in value. And you see some of the others. I don't really want to comment on that except to say that countywide at the bottom, it's about 9.8%. And we'll see in just a minute or two how that actually helps us to a certain degree since we have a lower overall increase in our valuation countywide. So I just wanted to walk through this, what revenue neutral is and how we determine that. So this is just a schedule that shows how the townwide valuations have changed since the last revaluation, which was done effective January 1st, 2012. So you can see how each year, how the assessed value increased based on just, you know, improvements that people did, new housing, new businesses, whatever the case may be. And at the top, you'll see for fiscal year 2018, that's the new assessed value after revaluation. And that includes everything, not just real estate, that's also motor vehicles, personal property, business personal property. So that's the estimate that we received from New Hanover County Tax Department for everything. So the purpose of showing this is really to get that percentage change that's on the right side. And we average that out to come up with an average annual factor, which we'll then use in here. I know it looks like a little crazy or whatever, but I'll just walk through. So the average growth percent was a little over 1.1% per year. The next line is our current tax rate, which is 28.5 cents. The third line shows what the current year tax levy was. It's taking our valuation before the revaluation, so the 831 plus million. Time divided by 100, because that's how the tax rate is determined, and then times the tax rate. So you see a tax levy of $2,369,440. So the next step is to say, well, what happens if there was no revaluation? What would our tax levy be? So that's where the growth factor comes in. So we're taking the valuation, the 831 plus million, times the growth factor. then multiplied by the tax rate to say if there was no revaluation, this is what our levy would be. So that's the $2,395,563. Then you take that number and divide it by the new valuation based on the revaluation. And once you do that calculation, it shows that our revenue neutral tax rate is 27.13 cents. So that's actually a reduction of 1.37 cents from the current tax rate. I know it's kind of quick, but I don't know if anybody have any questions. I know some of you have heard this before, so. So the actual proposal that I put here is to leave the tax rate at 28.5 cents, you know, not to decrease it to revenue neutral. And this next thing I wanted to show is just what does that mean town-wide? And some of these are just information that we have now that could change. But if you look at the left side of the spreadsheet, it shows the total cure needs valuation before the revaluation, so the $831 million. And what the current taxes would be, both Curry Beach at 28.5 cents, and then what New Hanover County is, which is really two components for New Hanover County. It's the county tax, and they also have a debt service piece. So those two combined are the 62.3 cents. So looking at that, the total tax in Curry Beach would be about 7.5 million, 7,448. If we look at the right side, which is what does it look like after revaluation, again using the new revalued rates, looking at our proposed tax rate of 28.5 cents, and up to this point the county has proposed a rate of 57 cents. So using that in this calculation, it basically shows that we net out townwide basically even. I'm going to show $56 there. I mean, you can't get much more, you know, closer to even when you're talking, you know, millions of dollars at this point. So that's why originally I said that the fact that Curie Beach had a lower increase in valuation actually can help us townwide. So this kind of demonstrates that. The other thing I wanted to show was, well, what's the impact on, let's say, at a home value at $350,000 of the proposed tax rate of 28.5 cents versus the revenue neutral rate of 27.13 cents. And the difference is really slightly less than $48 a year. So,
well, that's just the Curie Beach, right?
That's just the Curie Beach.
Yeah, so this, I think your last slide shows this really well. And I've got it by a zone, which I shared with Arlen. For the majority of our property owners, they'll have a slight decrease because of New Hanover County, not because of us. Mm-hmm. We're going to get more money, but New Hanover County's taking less. And so the majority of the zones, and you can break it down to individual properties, there's going to be some individual properties that win and lose a little bit. But overall, it's about break even or even a little bit of a savings to the majority of our taxpayers, just like the last time we did this when we're in 2012 under reevaluation. Mm-hmm. So I think a good job, Ron. It's the right recommendation, and I think you guys in your budget discussions talked about it for what the town's doing. So it's nice to see the county's helping us out again so people aren't mad at us at the end.
Very good job, Bob.
Right, and I think what David did, like you said, with the breaking down by zone or whatever was very interesting too. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if someone comes to us and complaining, you can give council or them, here's your property, the real impact.
Right.
And you can sort it to see who might be upset. Right. I mean, if you need to know that, right?
Right.
He left, by the way, but it's the same person that was left said last time.
There may be some that will be upset.
So. Right.
So just kind of to wrap up general fund revenue, I wanted to show the green being the proposed budget for fiscal year 2018. The blue is the actual from 2016, and the red is the estimated for this current year. And I really just put this up here so that it kind of demonstrates that we're very consistent from year to year. I mean, the only unusual things maybe are the last two on the right, the other revenue and other financing sources. And other revenue, there was the impact of the hurricane, so we have some FEMA reimbursement money there for this current year. There's a grant this year also for a camera grant. There must be something I said.
No, they're just going to get a table for that.
And then the last category, other financing sources, it really is dependent on the amount of loans. Like for this current year, in the red, we had bought a new garbage truck, so we had a fairly sizable loan for that, and some other equipment and vehicles. So other than that, you see that most revenue sources are very consistent year to year. So I'll quickly move on to the general fund expenses. This pie chart shows expenses by department or function. You always see that the top five that make up about 79% of the budget are the police department at 28%, streets and sanitation at 19%, fire department 15%, administration 9%, and debt service at 8%. So those three, like I said, are about 79% or about $3.6 million out of the $4.6 million budget. Then most other categories are fairly self-explanatory. You do see another category, the third from the bottom, at $173,410. The bulk of that is our committee line, and for this year, it's usually much lower, but that's what we actually budgeted the improvements that I talked about for the E&I Avenue Beach Access are included in that budget. The next highest one is a community center and tax collection expense. So those three make up about 98% of that other category. Just some things to keep in mind with general funds expenses is that this is a fund that pays for most of government, the town of Puerto Beach government. It covers a lot of the town provided services, whether it be police, fire, the lifeguards, garbage, trash, you know, recycle, just general maintenance, administration, you know, finance, all the different categories. So there's a lot that comes out of this fund. So that always makes this very difficult to budget, especially as prices continue to go up with everything. Also, part of this is the town council budget under governing body. And I'll just mention that there are some contributions to outside agencies included in that budget, in line with what has been done other years, but grand total of about $16,500 to six different organizations: the Pleasure Island Chamber of Commerce for the concert series, the Kate Senior Center, the Help Center of Federal Point Historic Preservation Society, Friends of Fort Fisher, and the Island Lights. It also includes a transfer, as I mentioned earlier, to the Beach Protection Fund, which we'll talk about a little bit more in just a couple minutes. And that contingency line, that's really just for unexpected or unanticipated increases in budgetary needs during the year. And that's about 1% of the general fund budget. The maximum allowable by state statute would be 5% of the budget. So this also, like with the revenue, just shows over a three-year period the percentage of expenses in the general fund by department. And again, relatively consistent. The ups and downs really relate to capital expenditures in any given year. In addition to the only other change was in the fire department, where we've added additional full-time employees as part of this current year budget. So that has driven up some of those costs. I don't know if anyone has any questions on the general fund?
Nope.
Can I ask?
Sure.
Some clarifying questions. Your recycling of this part of the garbage fund, is that a separate, is that staying the same number? Your recycling fees are currently $6 a month. Is that going to 12 also? Or is
that no. Yeah, that's a different fee or whatever. There's no change to recycling.
Next question. Ocean Dunes has 196 units. Are they all $6 or is the first one 6 and the rest 12?
Each unit, each unit would be $6 for the first. So if a building has four units and four cans, each one would be $6.
Okay. That takes away the next question.
Okay.
May I comment on the governing body thing?
Sure.
Okay. You missed our big discussion, but from what Arlen looked into, we have, if I'm not mistaken, the lowest paid council on the East Coast, probably in the entire state.
It was on the table.
We, for those of you who may be considering running this coming year, we aren't increasing our salaries. We'll continue to be the lowest on the East Coast, if not the entire state. But what I think the public should be aware of is that we are adding a vehicle allowance of $75 a month.
Correct.
For individual council members and mayor if you want to use it. So that's an addition of $4,500 for us, and then an extra $25 a month for phone allowance if the town is not providing you with a phone. So I'd just like for the public to know about the big increases your council will be receiving next year.
Yeah.
Okay.
The that traffic
was in the budget, so you have to pull it out.
The traffic allowance is 33 miles a week, I believe. That's what that came out to, something like that, 36 miles a week.
Yeah, I'd have to go back and actually look at it. Yeah.
One trip to Wilmington and back covers it.
Right.
Yeah.
So even though it sounds, you say $75, it really doesn't cover
it's
a lot.
One trip per week.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
And we'll move on to the water and sewer fund. Again, the highlights for there. No changes to existing rates or fees. There is money budgeted for infrastructure projects of about $277,000 and about $47,000 for equipment capital expenditures. The debt service in this fund totals just about $196,000, a fairly significant increase because of, as Jimmy had mentioned earlier in the meeting about the pump station that's being built. This includes a new loan for that, a loan of $475,000, so that service has to be added to this budget. And then I will say that overall this budget is less than last year, and that's primarily because last year included a significant amount for maintenance, or this current year, I should say, for in particular cleaning out the sewage treatment lagoon. So if we look at the revenue, as we'd expect, the blue and the red are the water and sewer charges, and are really 91% of the revenue, which is the way it should be. It's an enterprise fund; it should be paying for itself.
Mm-hmm.
So, the other items in there are quite small. Some other financing, which is loans for capital items. The other part, the tap connection and cutoff fees, and again, a lot of that's based on this again shows over a 3-year period what the revenue looks like by category. And again, you see fairly consistent. You see some bumps in the pump up in water and sewer for fiscal year 17, and that really relates to the rate changes we made for this current year. We also had a transfer from our sewer expansion reserve fund this year, so for a capital project that was done. And then again, the far right, other financing really depends on the amount of capital expenditures and the number of loans we need to take. Next is the water and sewer fund budget. The bulk of this is as it should be, operations at 77%. Then the administration is 12%, finance 9%, and legal and governing body are both 1%. To take some of the council expenses and split them between the general fund and the water and sewer fund. shows expenses by, again, the same three-year period. Again, shows the consistency we have from year to year. You see that mop up for this current year for the additional maintenance costs and also for capital. And also for this fiscal year 2018 is also a bump for capital expenditures. So I don't know if anyone has any questions on the water and sewer fund. Run through the stormwater fund. Again, no proposed changes to fees. This fund has debt service of just about $100,000. It does have some fairly significant amounts budgeted for capital expenditures, $350,000 for infrastructure projects and $35,000 for equipment. But even with that, overall, it's still over 8.5% less than this current year budget. We also had a lot of capital expenditures in this current year. So looking at the revenue for the stormwater fund, the blue is the monthly stormwater fees that everybody pays. The red is stormwater building fees, so that's dependent on the estimated amount of building activity.
Would the change that we made where people can put in stormwater systems instead of those fees, have they dropped off pretty significantly?
No.
Really? Wow. So most people are not doing that, huh?
Right.
There's
been a couple.
Yep.
But you know, we're still estimating that we're, you know, working with John, you know, $40,000. So
that's fine. I'm just saying
10 houses, I guess.
Yeah.
And then you'll see the big purple area that's over half of the revenue is actually an appropriation of fund balance. We build up this fund for the sole purpose of paying for some of these significant capital expenditures, so that's what we'll be doing this current year, upcoming year. So this shows that revenue for the 3 years. And again, you see consistency in the stormwater fees, the ups and downs with the building fees just based on activity. And then the far right, the kind of looks a little unusual, is the appropriation of fund balance. But again, the plan for the reason why we had to fund up was to pay for those projects. This is the actual stormwater expense budget. You can see the blue is the operation costs, red is debt service, and the green is the capital expenditures that are planned. And this shows those expenses over the 3 year period. Again, very consistent with operations and pretty much debt service too. And capital outlay is where it could be all over the board. And you see the red, that's this current fiscal year where we've done some significant projects, relining some of the stormwater pipes in the Imperial Beach Village area. And then also because of Hurricane Matthew, the stormwater outfalls, all of them were damaged or just destroyed. They needed to be replaced, so they were actually a capital expenditure also. And with that, I'll just comment that yesterday we got the last check from FEMA for $131,000 that covers 75% of the cost of the
house. Good.
Helpful, so.
Nice job.
Yep. Good work. So this last slide just summarizes the last four funds, Palville Fund, which is restricted use monies, which that means that we can only use it for specific purposes. In this case, it's to maintain, construct, repair streets. It's a allocation we get from the North Carolina DOT, and estimate that at about $65,000 with another $70,000 of interest income for subsidies we have to have fund. Beach protection, we had mentioned, I mentioned earlier, that was set up back in 2014 in the event that we had to pay some of the costs for beach nourishment. We set this up for that or any other beach type expenditure, whether it be access repairs, dune plantings, whatever became a necessary beach related expense. So for this year, it's a that transfer I had mentioned of was $46,450 and then some additional interest income to bring it up to that $47,090.
I will say that since this fund was established in 2014, we've transferred in about $299,000 to date. So.
Great.
Next is the Federal Asset Forfeiture Fund. This is money produced by the police department. That's the result of them participating in investigations with federal agencies. This money also restricted, can only be used by the police department, and it has to be for uses outside of the day-to-day operating budget. So here the estimate is that they will use approximately $50,000 of that money. And finally is the Sewer Expansion Reserve Fund. This is for future expansion, construction, repairs to the sewer system. The revenue source is fees on new construction, in addition to some interest income on fund investments. So that, in summary, is the budget being proposed for fiscal year 2018. I think it's a thorough review of expenses, and we try to do reasonable but conservative estimates of revenue. I think it takes into account the goals the council set, also other priorities and town needs. And finally, just want to thank everybody that participated in developing the budget. It's always a difficult process, but we make it actually go fairly smoothly.
So if I had to summarize this for myself, the budget, first of all, the budget's balanced. Second, it is slightly lower than last year.
Correct.
And third, the tax rate is comparable or a little less for real estate tax.
Well,
it's an increase.
In total.
It's the same tax rate.
Right.
Oh, okay. Well, in total. In total, if you take into account Fury Beach and the proposed New Hanover County rate.
Right.
Town-wide, it's pretty much break-even.
Right.
As David mentioned, that means that for this person over here, they could have a significant
increase.
This one could have a significant
The average tax increase across the 2,500 properties is $3.95.
Yeah.
The total tax increase.
Yep. So that's.
But New Hanover County is taking $140,000 less, and we're taking $140,000 more.
Right.
Right. So that's the issue, right? So,
right.
I mean. One, sorry I missed all the budget meetings, or at least two of them, but I listened to everything on there, so great job by all you other guys, and great job by Arlen, as always. Two, I encourage you to listen to yourselves on the tape. I do that from time to time since Nancy posts them when I'm driving, because I always learn something about myself, and you might learn something about yourselves if you listen to yourself on the tape. So I really like you do that, Nancy, because it's an opportunity to stay up, right? You guys had great discussions, really around the garbage side. I appreciate it. I was aggravated I wasn't there to participate, actually, because y'all said some things that I didn't agree with, but I appreciate the conversation. And
that's why we said it.
Just for me, you knew I'd listen. There you go. And so, great job. And,
see if you were listening.
Yeah, well, there I was, yeah. So, I make a motion with you. Accept this budget and move forward in the process.
I second that.
Comments or questions?
We need a specific motion.
Make hold on, you got it written down somewhere?
On the agenda.
Meeting agenda, hold on, I'll make the motion properly then. Let's see exactly what you said. I make a motion to direct the town clerk to advertise a budget inspection and a budget public hearing at town hall on Tuesday, June 6th at 6:30 p.m.
Okay. Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Thank you, Arlen.
A lot of detail.
Wonderful
Arlen.
Job.
Nice job.
That was great.
There's a bunch of numbers behind those few charts.
Right.
And we'll have a test on it at the hearing. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Our emergent proposal for the use of privately owned lots, we've already done that, right?
Yes.
While Mike was here. Emergency operations plan, take it away, David.
Yep, so it's in your packet. I haven't proposed any changes to the plan. I think it's working well for us. this is the time of the year where we do adopt it, so I make a motion we adopt it without changes unless somebody on council needs a change.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, how about the town survey?
I request to flip these two because I want to go down and use the overhead, so can I do Carolina Beach, Pure Beach Sewer Authority update first?
Sure.
Perfect. So in your packet under new business, there's a memo from Arlen. So on May 8th, Arlen, Sonny, Joe, and I represented the town on the Carolina Curie Beach Sewer Authority. For the audience, basically once a year we meet to set the rate that Curie Beach pays to Carolina Beach for treating the majority of our sewer, not all of it, on the regional sewage treatment plant behind the park across the way. And so because that's a regional plant, when it was initially established, Carolina and Curie Beach were on the sewer authority and we set the rates. And the way the rates were set is we review the actual spending after the audited spending for Carolina Beach to operate that, and then we retroactively changed the rates to reflect what the actual costs were. And then that's the rate going forward, and every year we square up, right? We're getting much better at it, so for the total spend, we're down under less than 2% of the change. So the new rates for variable costs decreased to 1.18 cents per 1,000 gallons from 77.66 to 76.48. And then the fixed cost increased due to capital expenditures, $2,955.97 per month. That's because of increase in fixed cost. And there were no change for capital recovery. So as a result of those changes, Curie Beach owes Carolina Beach $28,217.33. I'm going to use that next, Nancy. So I make a motion that council accept the new rates as presented and approve the finance officer sending a check to Carolina Beach for $28,217.33.
A second.
Where does that money come from?
Comes from the sewer fund.
Water
sewer fund.
So we don't have to transfer anything to help out with that. Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Cool. And request to go down here?
Thank you.
It wasn't me, so it was Sonny Harlan, actually. And we're paying closer attention. So the last thing is the survey.
While David is doing that, there are a couple of things I wanted to say, and I'll do one quickly so we can get it out of the way. The MPO meeting last month, we talked about proposals for a third bridge over the Cape Fear, mainly for economic development to help transport things to and from our port. Right now, there are 12 options on the table, and we narrowed those in our minds for our MPO, narrowed that down to 4 options, and predominantly options that come out at either Shipyard Boulevard or Independence Boulevard, and then go on out there. The biggest issues had to do in Brunswick County, particularly around Brunswick Forest. But now there are about 10 or 12 other agencies that have to weigh in on this, so it's not our decision at all here in our Metropolitan Planning Organization. But I will let you know as soon as we start construction on that new bridge.
I'm sure we'll know because we'll go drive up.
Won't be during my lifetime, but okay. Take it away, David.
Cool. So back in December, we sent out a survey, and we sent it out two ways. One, we sent it out on our website, so if you log on to our website, you can take the link and take the survey. The second way is we sent it out via our email distribution list that people sign up for the town, and then they get emails. One of the issues is you can't track if someone did it both ways, so that's one of the things. But the reason we did it two separate ways is to validate that the information we were getting You know, on our website can be a lot of visitors. Our email distribution list is the majority of residents, although not all residents. So you can kind of see across the two survey to make sure if you had any flat outliers. So we had 473 total responses, 315 from the website, 158 from the email. Again, you're not sure if those 158 are also on the website or not, but the good thing is the data looks pretty consistent across the two different surveys, so I just combined it with the crowd. And council has gotten this complete PowerPoint. I mailed it back to you guys, a month or two ago. It went to your email distribution yet. I can pull it up and show you where it got. Where it went out. I'm not sure you got it, but it went out to everybody, right? All the council, right? If you haven't seen the survey, I'm just showing the questions, but I'm not going to go through them all. But we basically had it broken up into a number of parts. So you can kind of see here's all the different questions, your level of interest in the following, and we're going to go through each of the different questions, but town revenues, how satisfied are you with taxes, and then parking, a bunch of stuff about parking, environment and safety, how do you feel about the following, walking and biking, Wilmington, and then parks and stuff like that, town ambassador program, additional comments, and then where do you live, and how do you best describe your residency and go into business or not, and then are you male or female, and then your age. So kind of starting off at the beginning, and there's two ways this data breaks up. I'm going to show you the visual part because that's how I operate. If you want to see the scores in tabular form, we're going to blow through those, but if you make me stop, I'll stop and we'll talk about both of them. So this is really attractiveness of the business area and then downtown area. At the top is poor, at the bottom is excellent, and so in the middle is fair, average, and good. And all of them should be basically the same, so I'll key you if it changes. But basically, so for attractiveness, we have basically 70% on both of those that are saying that the town is at least average, good, or excellent, which is in the top range, which is what we expect. The town's invested a lot in the business district, and we've done a lot of upgrades over the last probably 8 to 10 years that I think are starting to show in that. Oh, did it go? Okay, if my computer's frozen, there we go. Sorry, I don't know why that is. Marketing and availability of lodging. So this is just talking about, okay, what do you think about the marketing in town? This one was an interesting one to me, only in the sense that I'm surprised anyone had comments at all on how we market the town, but people did. And so basically they're okay with how we market it, and they say that the availability of lodging is, 70-80% are, there's average, good, or excellent availability of lodging. Dining services, so this one, fair, is 30%, right? The variety and the variety of goods and services. So even though we talk a lot about it in council meetings about what should we do to expand either the services, the different type stuff, whether we expand the downtown district of K Avenue or give other opportunities for more goods and services like a coffee shop or something like that, you can see that again, we have a significant number of people that are saying it's average or above average, which is, okay, this is where it's hard to interpret what the data is. I'm just gonna let you guys interpret it for yourself because I'm not gonna try to interpret it for you because I don't know what to interpret out of it either. Then this is the same thing in tabular. Continue on, right? Potential issues. So how do you view the following potential issues in Curie Beach, right? Lack of new businesses. And again, so serious problems at the top, not a problem is at bottom and gray, and then a moderate problem or a minor problem. So lack of new businesses, if you split the half, it looks like over half say it's moderate or a problem, right? So more than 50% say lack of new businesses is a problem. Increase in one-day trippers, right? One-day visitors, right? You can see over half think that's a problem. Growth in New Hanover County, you can see like 80% see that as a serious or moderate problem. So I think our citizens recognize, as the council does, that New Hanover County getting more built out is going to be a problem for Curie Beach, right? And I think we've all talked about it in council meetings. Level of interest in the following, so expanding the commercial district. This is, again, strongly opposed at the top, strongly supporters at the bottom, and then in the middle it's somewhat opposed, neither supporter opposed, or somewhat support, right? So if you think the middle, the orange, is I don't have an opinion, right? Then it's, okay, which side is most of the people on the right? So expanding the commercial is somewhat support or strongly support, just a little bit, right? If you add those two up, you get 45%, and the other one's 38%. Expand the economic opportunities, you see more than 50% down in the strongly support. And I can't remember the two economic questions, but mixed use is the other one that's interesting. So oppose is 28%, and support is 48%. So encouraging mixed use seems to be, at least in this survey, which is less than 25% of the people, and it's a mix because some of them are out of town people, but of those people, more than half encourage mixed use, expansion mixed use, or more mixed use opportunities in town. This one's adopting architectural requirements for codes, more stringent architectural stuff, supporting over 50%. And then I'm not sure what the last one is. I think it's economic incentives for expansions or something is 54%. But if we go down to the next one, it'll tell us what it was. The bottom right, provide economic incentives to business owners to improve their external appearances. So more than 50%, that's 58%, say they support that. So if the town was talking about doing something to get when Joe's fixed up, you know, the diner fixed up, at least in this survey, more than 58% support that. Let's see, if you're not a property owner, yeah, are you a property owner? So it says 80% own property in Curry Beach of the people that answered. So again, more of our, well, it was more were on the website, but it said 80% said they're property owners. Okay, so then this plays right to the budget we just talked about, right? So do you feel like you get value for your Curry Beach taxes? So 34% don't have an opinion, and 48% are satisfied or very satisfied, but mostly satisfied, right? So we have 5% that probably don't believe you should pay taxes at all, and then that could be a random opinion there. Please don't take it too hard, right? And then 13% that are dissatisfied with the value they get for the property tax. So, would you support an increase to approve any of the following? Yes is the yellow, no is the blue, and you can see nobody wants to raise property taxes except for infrastructure, right? So public services, more no's than yeses. Town facilities, definitely more no's than yeses. So that right there on our fire department and expanded town hall just heads up on that, right? And then the yes is really for infrastructure, so streets and other things. If we look down at what else was in that. Streets, improved water, sewer lines, sewage disposal, stormwater. So basically the citizens are saying if you're investing in that, we see a value in that. If it's town facilities, we don't see a value in that. And then public services is closer, but we don't see a value in that. More no's than yeses, so it's a little closer. Paid parking, right? And let's go to the actual right here. I'm in favor of keeping free parking as is, 35%. I'm in favor of exploring other options to make park space available for local businesses, 19%. I'm in favor of paid parking in the main business district to support local businesses and community events, 44%. So at least in the survey, pretty split, with it breaking a little bit more towards paid parking. And I think that rolls right into what we talked about earlier tonight, exploring that to investigate more about it, which I think is supported by the survey.
Nancy, why'd you look at me?
I don't know.
he's like 100 of them? No, I'm sure not, right? So one of the things the survey did allow us to do is no one used the same computer to do multiple entries. So we set that so you couldn't do that, and we isolated this out. So if they did it, they at least had to go to a different computer because you could tell from computers. please rate your level of interest in paid parking with free handicap parking, and we'll go back to the this one. In the business districts, strongly opposed was 27. So, you know, it's 50% on the support or strongly support, and with another 11% neutral underside, that's 61%, so in the business district. In all beach accesses, parking lots, if you do the math, it's like 52%. So a little more than actually in the business district, which is sort of interesting, actually. But I guess people go to the business district, they walk to the beach. And then on Fort Fisher Boulevard outside of the business district, it drops off to 47%.
Doesn't seem to be much center.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the issue, just like Nancy pointed out, we struggled is that parking is, you're on one side or the other, it's not much of the center line, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's pretty interesting to see the business center start to break. I think, and I think we've talked about this before, as we get more and more friction over the issue from a lot of different reasons, mm-hmm. you know, it just, I've always said it's going to happen eventually, but I think we, as a council, have a bunch of work to do before we do it throughout the town. We've got to fix the parking stuff and ordinances in the old part of town, or people will be in everyone's yards and we'll be hate line. So if we're going to do it, we got to do a lot of parking stuff before then with P&Z. How do you feel about residents receiving free parking? This was pretty easy, right? I want a free parking pass, right? So there you go. Mm-hmm. So 60%, and you add the other 22, that's 82%. This is probably the strongest one in the whole survey is, okay, if we do paid parking, all the residents want to be able to park for free. So there you go. Which means that we really won't make any money on it. It's about keeping people out and then making money off of it. How do you feel about tourists not being allowed to park in neighborhoods except in designated areas? Same thing, right? So, yeah, you guys, if you do pay parking, don't let them start parking in our areas. They don't realize that what that will do is stop people parking where a lot of people are parking right now. I think this question, people don't understand this issue very well. In the old part of town, there are a lot of people that park in the right way. And, you know, there's a couple ways to solve that problem, but none of them are easy. And all of them end up with a police department, much like Riceville Beach did in the late 80s when they did the same thing. So if you want to Google that or something, I encourage you to look at it when we start.
Well, David, on the north end, we still have a lot in the Hanby Beach area and on places like Curie Beach Village Way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it won't just be the old part of town, I agree with you, but the non-homeowner regulated parts of town, that's probably a better way to say it. Mm-hmm. Because the homeowners have street parking rules, they don't enforce them very well in my opinion, but they have them, so they could start enforcing them. The thing that happens is the rest of town doesn't have those, mm-hmm. and you have to have those first, not after the fact. A shuttle service from a parking lot outside of town to Curie Beach, Fort Fisher Aquarium. So this one's kind of interesting. I was surprised by this one, actually. I would have thought it would have been more negative. But it wasn't. So basically you have, you know, all 26% that don't support or oppose, and then on the positive side you have 44%, 45% that say they support it, which I was surprised by, actually. So when you ask questions, you get interesting answers sometimes. Potential issues, personal safety. So the bottom is not a problem, the top is a serious problem, right? So people feel pretty safe in town, right? So if you look mm-hmm. at that, that's 86% say it's a minor problem, not a problem. Bicycle safety, we've had a couple of people hit, and I think people know it, so that's a little less, but you still see, you know, 57% saying that it's a minor problem or not a problem. Pedestrian safety, the same way. You know, you're at 60% not a problem or minor problem. And then golf carts on main roads, 63% minor problem or not a problem. So at least from, if you think this is really the police and a little bit of our signage, at least the people taking the survey felt pretty comfortable about where we are, right? Not saying we couldn't improve, but I'm just saying the people that answer the survey don't see it's a huge issue. Availability of bike paths, so now we have, you know, 46% saying that it's a serious problem or moderate problem, and that's probably the people seeing the bikers on 421, or not stopping the stop signs in town, whether it's in the homeowners associations north or in the old part of town. The conditions of housing build up, a minor problem or not a problem. The conditions of yards, minor problem or not a problem by like 70%, 75%, right? Dogs on the beach, so
50-50.
Yeah, you know, actually it's a little, a minor problem or not a problem was 56%, which I was surprised by, as much flack as we hear about it. So, you know, at least in this survey sample, right? Tennis chairs and stuff left on the beach, right? So we hear from the fire department picking up and the police department, but that's 58%, if I can do the math right, yeah, 58% saying it's a minor problem or not a problem. Enforcement of existing ordinances, 60% say it's a minor problem, not a problem. Signage regarding, let's see what that is. Signage regarding, signage regarding rules and ordinances, right? That's the one I was looking at, right? I'm going to go back to the pictures. So signage regarding rules and ordinances, 74% say it's a minor problem. Litter related to the use of the beach. So this one is seen as an issue. You know, 57% say it's a serious problem or a moderate problem. So litter is one. Stormwater drainage is significant. We've done a lot of work, so we've invested probably $300,000 this year.
About
$600,000. There you go. Sorry, I was only half off. You know, but people do see that, so at least we're spending the money in the right place. Beach erosion, I'm not sure what we're going to do about that, but a lot of people see that as a concern. That's good, I guess. We're working on it all the time. Mm-hmm. Excessive noise. So this one is, you know, 58% say it's a minor problem or not a problem, but that 13% is probably in where we get the complaints from, right? So we could probably go pick out the houses around the big rental houses because that's what the problem is, right? And I think the police department and building inspector are working on that one. But the majority of the surveyors said it wasn't really a big issue. Let's see, expand walking and bicycling. So this is somewhat agree or strongly agree at the bottom. So 66% think we should expand walking and bicycling paths. Expanding ad facilities for recreation. 52% think we should somewhat agree or strongly agree we should expand those. Expand year-round, and I'll have to go down and see what year-round, expand year-round recreation programs. So 48% say agree or somewhat agree, right? With 35% undecided. So, I mean, we've expanded out to the shoulders, but I don't know that we want to pay for having year-round recreation programs other than what's happening at the community center. That's one to consider. Liberal interest in the town ambassador program, assisting staff and volunteers to assist and educate residents. So somewhat support or strongly support is 49% with another 37% either supporting or opposing. So it looks like people would be in favor of that if someone wants to work on that. Do you own or rent your current residence? So 75% own. 3.9% rented, and then 16% didn't live here, and then they had other. I can't remember what the 5% other was right now. I think they were business owners that lived outside, so that's why they talked about it. They put themselves as other. Residency year-round. So year-round, 54.7%. 22% said second homeowners. Second home that visited. And then second homeowners that rented was 1.3%. Let's look down and see what the difference between those two are. Renting units year-round or renting short-term. So 5% was short-term rentals. 1.3% was they rented out to someone else, so they hunted as a second home, and they long-term renters, right? And then visitors was 13%, and then 2.4% come to Cure Beach for their job. So either staff or working at the restaurants. Do you own a business? 4% said yes, 96% said no. And then it was just like the split of our society, 51.5% female and 48.5% male. I think that's right actually where America is right now. Because women are smarter and live longer. That's what my wife tells me all the time. And then age group, so there you go. So 30%, 65 and older, our retirees. 55 to 64, 34%, and then 20%. And I guess we had 1.3%, 18 to 24. They couldn't pick younger than 18, so I don't know if anyone younger than 18 took it. They probably picked that one. That one might have been a gap in our survey. We got a 9-year-old, right? So that's the survey data, right? I'm not going to go through all the comments, but I will forward them to council so they can look through them in depth if they want to. And I'm not sure what you want me to do next with it. Did you find it, Joe?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to look because I emailed it to council, so I don't know why I got it to you.
I don't want to leave the, have us meet any later than we absolutely have to, but I think at some point, we need to talk about, does any of this help us to make some decisions about paid parking and whether or not we should follow through on that? And then also the big concern, like I've been talking about for so long, is this unbelievable growth that, like the 2,600 homes over there on River Road. What, if anything, can we do to plan for this, or do we just ignore it and hope it'll go away?
Well, I don't think it's a NORT issue, but I don't know. You're not going to stop people from building on their property outside of the limits of Curie Beach.
No.
So,
can we stop them from coming here? Would we even want to?
So, no.
No, we don't.
You can't stop them from coming here. You can increase the rate, the cost of them coming here with paid parking, and that's, you can't put a toll on the road because they're state highways. It's a public beach, so you can't do that. So, paid parking is the only throttle, and I don't know that it's much of a throttle. But, that's why I think, and I think that's why Mike Robertson is coming to the dark side, which is amazing, that paid parking is going to be a reality. It's just a matter of how we implement it and when we do it. But I think council's got to work with P&Z on the issues around it before we do it.
Well, with the surprising number that favored a shuttle for the island, I have an opportunity working on WAVE's 5-year plan to get that in the plan. Is that something council might be interested in pursuing? I know they're interested at the aquarium because they're desperately running out of parking space. I found out a couple of weeks ago, Sunny Point's property goes all the way to their doorstep. So they're not getting any more spaces.
Jay Whittle in town at Curie Beach.
Which one did you originate?
My corner one, because that's where I did all the work. You jumped well.
So is that a shuttle something you guys would be interested in pursuing? And it's not going to happen this year or next year. But.
So if we were going to make it easier for people all over Wilmington to get to Curie Beach, I think we should put that on a referendum or something personally, but I don't know if we can do that. We have an election coming up in October. I think we should be able to ask a couple questions on there, but I've been told you can't just add stuff to that, and I'm not sure why. I was told we can't add our own thing, but we should be able to put referendums on the ballot if we ask. We just need to figure that out and get them to them before they make the...
And I don't know that it's a way to make it easier for Wilmington people. It's more of a... Once you're here, is there a park and ride thing available? Because when I get to Curie Beach, I absolutely cannot park. So is there a park and ride thing available? Food Lion?
No, I think it is.
Teeter to get us here and get us back, or even like New Year's Eve to get people back into.
My personal opinion is if that should be something we should get information from all the citizens on. I just don't know how to do it.
The only offsite that I can think of is going to be Harris Teeter soon. Mm-hmm. And I can't imagine any grocery store.
And the parking there is going to be a nightmare.
Giving up their
and
parking.
The traffic around.
Mm-hmm. Well, plus there'll be a gas station in there too.
Poor decision.
So it's going
to
be.
It should be a guide on the decisions that we have to make. Otherwise, why do we ask for it? So.
But on all of the big issues, they were pretty well split.
Well, that's so true. That's true. That's why we're here to make decisions.
And I would imagine most of those issues can't be done by any one of the two towns by themselves without affecting the other town.
Yeah.
And some things you want are wants, but they may not be supportable.
Right. I don't, like I said, I got the data for you guys. I don't know what to do with it, right? So I think that's why, you know, it was emailed to you and while we went through it. From my standpoint, just like I said when we started the survey, is okay, it reinforces some of the stuff we're doing. I didn't see anything in there that told us stop working on something, but I think Emily's point is, okay, there was at least one question that okay, should, you know, more people said yes to a shovel than I expected. So that's a surprise to me. I don't know what that means, right? I mean, I don't know what that means. You know, it's still not, it's not even 30% of the people in town. It's 15%. If you say every one of the surveys was unique, it's like 18% of the properties represented. And then if you say some of those people live together, potentially, then you get less than that. So, you know, what are the big changes you want of that? I think council should decide if there's anything out of there they want to change track on, and then we should figure out how to get people to give us input on it, on more deep, specific, these two things or whatever.
Would it be okay if I take some of this to WAVE's five-year planning committee, and they might be able to come up with ways that you could either get more information or at least explain to us what such a service would mean, and they have the ability to look at the whole island and see, is there a place for park and ride? And if there absolutely isn't, then you know, maybe it could never happen.
I'm okay with you know whatever you want. It's public information now, so you know, Nancy's got to put it on the website now because she's got it as well. We've covered it at the council meeting. So it's public information. Do whatever you want with it. I think the issue is, I don't feel that we have, nothing in there was a mandate from the citizens to do something different than what we're doing, in my opinion. Right, so that's where I'm at, right?
Yep.
And there was, that was really the only one that I was even sort of surprised by. All the rest of them, 50-50 mm-hmm. almost, you know, flip your coin. So you can use it to say whatever you want to do, which is what I was worried about when we did it. Because, you know, the good thing was at least the ones that I was most interested in, and this is personal, not for you guys, but for me, around public safety, it seemed like most people said we're doing the right thing. So the police department's doing the right things. When they talked about downtown, okay, public works is doing the right things. And the one thing that they said they didn't want to spend money on, council seems to be moving forward on spending money on that, right? I mean, you know, they said, we want you to invest in infrastructure, which we're doing, but they also said, we really don't support expanding the facility. And we, at least it seems the council has recognized that we have a facility need, because this building was built 25 years ago now, right? And we've outgrown it. And so,
well, they also said not quite as much with infrastructure, but that they would be willing to help pay for public services. You can't have public services if you don't have somewhere to house those people, and the housing office is decent.
No, I agree.
A good place to work in.
You don't have to talk me into it. I'm just saying that's
you know,
why
I don't think they really think about, oh yeah, I want really good public services, maybe even better, but they don't connect that. We have to have a decent place for people to work.
Well,
room for them
I mean,
to work.
You know, it's like the that's what I said when we started down the survey path, right? We're elected to review the issues and make the right decisions for the town. We should get inputs, and I think this is an input, but in the end, representative government means you're responsible to do what's right. And then take the heat for it if it's something people want to complain about. That's your job.
Yep.
And so I'm fine with that as part of the job. That's all I have for that, ma'am.
Well, by and large, it seems you're on a decent course with a couple of tweaks.
Right.
Right? If there's 50-50, it might warrant some investigation.
Okay. That's all of yours, right?
Yes, ma'am. I'm done.
One of the two things I'd like to mention quickly while we're talking about WAVE, while I was on vacation up in the mountains, I went to the DOT meeting that they were having all over the state, but missed it here, on mass transit, and my biggest surprise was the people who sat there from that western area were talking about the same exact issues and problems that we have right down here on the coast. And if you guys would like to talk about that in any detail, I'm certainly available to do so. Meanwhile, the colonel from Sunny Point came over week before last. In fact, the day I left town, came over and talked to me for a few hours. And Nancy and I had a chance to go to lunch with him and Michael over there. A wonderful, wonderful gentleman to talk to. And talk to him about the intersection up here of Ocean Boulevard and Dow Road and how they had cut their brush back about 3 years ago so cars could see people coming out of the side or people coming around the curve. And he and Michael both promised that regardless of the cost, they would do that again this spring. And talked about the bike path down Dow Road. Ain't gonna happen. Even if it does, we get to pay for a fence. Are they putting up fences everywhere? The answer immediately was no. But you do realize we need to protect our property. So one day may not be during our lifetime. Everything in Curie Beach may have a fence around it. But it won't be any time immediately or in the next few years. And he did say that they're very interested in the land use survey study / plan that we're supposed to be working on with the Department of Defense. He said the planning money is in this year's budget. However, let me see if I can do this tactfully, that the application, the local application should have been done by now and sent to DC and isn't, and that if we keep dragging our feet on it because of the atmosphere in DC, we may lose the planning money because they will take it and give it to something else, and that it would be very good if the planning agency would hurry up and finish the application. Therefore, I talked to the young man at the planning agency.
Yes.
And he said, boy, this is the hardest application I've ever had to do, and so it's gonna be a while before he finishes it. It will probably be December before the main committee is put together. If somebody doesn't take the money and spend it on something else in DC. But we had an interesting talk about why that couldn't be speeded up and whether or not that's going to happen before the end of the year. So that's my fun time. How about yours? Any council members have anything they would like to report?
I attended one of your meetings.
Yes.
On regional hubs for truckers.
Yeah.
Could make hide your hair out of it. But it was a meeting of engineers from throughout the state. They're setting up the traffic patterns with the major highways. using the existing major highway.
Okay, did they say anything about how that would impact Wilmington? Because the one thing about this bridge and where all the traffic is going to get off into Wilmington is that once it's in Wilmington, where is it going to go? Is it all going down Independence? Is it all going down College Road? How is it going to get to 17 and that other side of town? And nobody can answer that question.
I also represented the town at the ribbon cutting for the new bathroom at the state park.
Oh, well, thank you.
I've been to a number of them throughout my career, and that was the most interesting one I think I've ever done.
Nice.
Well, thank you. And is it a nice bathroom?
I hope you're not getting me inside that bathroom. I don't know.
Okay. Thank you.
Anybody but everybody have? From Raleigh said hey.
Yeah. Oh. Jim's going to represent the town in the emergency management meeting on Friday the 19th because I'll be out of town.
Okay. Any of the rest of us need to go?
You're welcome to. You don't have to. It's up to you. I think you should. Yeah, it's through
you've
great
been,
lunch.
You've been down
yeah, you've
there.
Been up there. It's yes. a great lunch, yeah.
Okay. Joseph, you have anything you'd like to share?
No, I'm good.
The Ports Waterways is still on path. Senate Bill 273, I think, has some language in it for money, but things aren't finished yet, so we're continue to work with Ruth and with our lobbyists and continue to do our portion, our surveys and studies and the things we need to do with the Corps. So nothing major to report there.
So it's not actually in the budget like we talked about originally,
not
being
yet.
A line item?
Not yet. We're not sure that it'll
even
get
be
into
in there.
This year, but it might be.
Yeah,
but it's good to be in the Senate. Means it'll probably get in there at least next year.
Okay, I saw somebody's note about it may not get in there till next year,
which is
a disappointment. Okay, and there's a breakfast in Raleigh next week of the Resort and Convention Town Committee of the League of Municipalities to try to get legislators to continue to support beach nourishment. So we'll see how that goes. Okay. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So move.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Thank you, guys.
So no closed session.
Oh, are we having a closed session?
We adjourn.
Can we wait till next month? I think all of us would probably sleep through it.
Cool, since we're here and that works out good.
And some of us are hungry if anybody would like to.
That's exactly right.
That's correct.
Go get something to eat.